affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long, and help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
You may have seen the sign. You may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime. Let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military.
I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
A blood serum. We need to know whether people have developed the antibodies. Because one of the things that we're trying to figure out right now is just how deadly this thing is. What exactly are the death rates? That is something that we'll have. And by the way, I strongly suspect that not tens of thousands, not hundreds of thousands, but millions of Americans actually have had coronavirus. That is my deep suspicion. Not just my suspicion, by the way. The suspicion of virtually everybody who has taken a look at these numbers. Now, yesterday we had on a doctor from Stanford University suggesting that he thinks that if you take the number of people, broadly speaking, across the United States who have had coronavirus or do have coronavirus and don't know about it and experience no symptoms or mild symptoms and then moved on with their life, if you take that number and you take the number of deaths over the actual number of people who have had or do have coronavirus, you're looking at a death rate that actually does look much more akin to the flu. Now, that does not mean you're not going to see more absolute death in the United States, because if 300 million people get it and it has the same death rate as the flu, you are still going to end up with like five times as many people dying from that as from the flu, because every season in the United States you get about 50, 60 million people with the flu. If instead you had 300 million people with the flu, more people on an absolute level will die. This is how percentages work. But the reason I suspect this is because you're seeing a lot of prominent people come down with this thing, right? Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, announced today that he has mild symptoms of coronavirus and he tested positive for coronavirus. So the question becomes, why is it that all of these prominent people are getting coronavirus, right? You got the NBA, where a bunch of people have coronavirus. You're seeing celebrities like Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson have coronavirus. You're seeing fairly famous people come down with coronavirus. So the question is this a thing that like only famous people are getting? Or alternatively, is it that in a time of a shortage of testing, is it possible the only people who are getting tests are the celebrities, right? Which is probably the accurate assessment of the situation, right? The NBA was getting early tests because all those people are rich and famous and celebrities, and they have hookups with doctors, and they can get a connect. So it's not that only NBA players are getting it, or that only Prime Minister Boris Johnson is getting it. It's that you may have had it, or you might have had it, but you didn't get a test because you're not famous, and because the tests are hard to come by. Okay, so according to the New York Times, the United States is the world's third most populous nation. So, of course, that's not a shock that we also have the world's highest number of coronavirus cases. And also, it's difficult to compare the United States to, like, Italy. Right, Italy has nearly as many cases as we do, and they have 60 million people. We have 330 million people. So on a per capita basis, we're not even close to number one. On a per capita basis, we're somewhere in the middle of the pack, actually, in terms of diagnosed coronavirus cases. If you took the United States versus the EU, which is closer to apples to apples, then you would be looking at the EU just swamping the United States. And as I say, China is number one in terms of population. India is number two in terms of population. We have no actual data on it. I think that's right. I think China's more than India, but it's pretty close. In any case, we don't actually have any data from India, and China's been lying about their data. So we don't actually know if the United States is number one. That, again, is not stopping people in the media from suggesting that this is because the United States is uniquely weird and evil and all of this. It's very weird. The same people who will accuse religious Americans of having this apocalyptic view of the United States accuse religious Americans of sitting around going, well, God is sending a plague on this cruel nation, right? Those same people are sitting around going, well, the United States, we're a bleep whole country. We sort of had this coming, didn't we? We sort of deserved it. They have this very weird sort of quasi-religious view that Mother Nature is taking her revenge in some sort of vague sense. It's very weird. Okay, well, we'll get to more of this in just one second, because there is good news today and there is bad news today. And we're going to get to the bad news first, and then we'll get to some of the good news as to where things stand. Because, again, there's a lot of data floating around that we're going to try to go through all of it. The theme of the show, if you haven't noticed for the past several weeks, is I don't know, and you don't know, and anybody who claims they know is lying to you. Okay, so when you watch the media and you watch the media's narrative on this thing evolve in real time, understand that's because the data is moving around. Some people are going to be honest about that, and some people are going to lie to you about that. We're going to be honest about that and suggest we don't know what we don't know. Okay, because right now there's this sort of pressure for everybody to come down hard, for people to go to their priors, to people immediately to declare it's either a huge problem or no problem at all. And we're not going to do that. We're just going to give you the data, and then we're going to, you know, kind of comment on how people are reacting to it. First, you're on the internet like all the time these days, all the time. And that means hacker's paradise. I actually had family members over the weekend who did not have ExpressVPN. They were emailing me saying that they'd been hacked Well, why exactly would you allow yourself to be hacked? Instead, go check out ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN will encrypt 100% of your data with the best-in-class encryption, so your information is always protected, even when you're using public Wi-Fi. ExpressVPN works on everything. Phones, laptops, routers, everyone who shares their Wi-Fi can still be protected, even if you don't have ExpressVPN. If you don't use a VPN, if you get hacked, kind of your own fault. Also, you think that you're safe in incognito mode? Wrong you are. People can get into incognito mode, including your ISP. So, protect your online activity today with the VPN I trust to secure my privacy. Visit my special link at expressvpn.com/Ben and get an extra 3 months for free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. Go check them out right now. You can't afford to leave your data unprotected at a moment like this, not when everyone on Earth is spending 25 hours a day on the Internet 7 days a week. Go check them out at expressvpn.com/Ben. Get an extra 3 months for free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. expressvpn.com/Ben. Okay, so as I say, that was the big headline, that the United States is number one in terms of coronavirus diagnoses. But that doesn't make a huge difference, because who cares? It's really how many people die compared to that number and whether the health system gets overwhelmed. Now, speaking of that, Scott Gottlieb, who is the former Trump head of the FDA, has become one of the trusted voices on this thing. He put out a chart showing the emerging situations in various American cities and how exactly the deaths are doubling. In New York City, basically, deaths are doubling every couple of days. Andrew Cuomo suggested that that is starting to flatten out, that thanks to the social distancing, thanks to the lockdown, that is starting to flatten out a little bit. Michigan is really jumping. Michigan has a very steep curve right now in terms of the number of people who are dying every day. Again, there's not a lot of data. You're like 4 days into some of these charts, right? Michigan's only being measured after like 4 days, basically. California, for some reason, is lagging, and that's interesting, right? Florida is also kind of lagging, and that's interesting as well. There was an article in the Associated Press asking why Los Angeles, for example, has so many fewer diagnosed cases than New York City. Part of that may be lack of testing. Part of that is undoubtedly the fact that, being a lifelong resident of Los Angeles, is a much more spread out town. I mean, New York, everybody is right on top of each other. The subways are always crowded. There are going to be some serious questions to be asked, by the way, to Andrew Cuomo and Mayor Bill de Blasio, if this really does get bad in New York City, as to why they were leaving public transportation running in the middle of all of this. Seriously, like, why were all the subways running? I mean, those are the places that are most likely to be the areas in which people acquire coronavirus. It's a bunch of hard surfaces in small areas underground, right? That's going to be – what you're noticing here, by the way, is that many of the areas that have public transportation systems are the ones that are getting the hardest hit. It turns out that maybe your personal protective equipment was your car. Being on public transportation is a place where you're most likely to acquire germs. Gottlieb said, I'm worried about emerging situations in New Orleans, Dallas, Atlanta, Miami, Detroit, Chicago, Philadelphia – among others. New Orleans is seeing a pretty sharp spike right now. In China, no province outside Hubei ever had more than 1,500 cases. In the United States, 11 states are already hit that total. Our epidemic is likely to be national in scope. Well, it is true it's likely to be national in scope, but there are likely to be differences by area. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Meanwhile, again, all eyes on New York City, because New York City is sort of the canary in the coal mine. It is the epicenter of the outbreak in the United States. According to the New York Times, the New York City death toll hit 365 last night. The case count topped 23,000, which means that somewhere between one-third and one-half of all cases in the United States are happening in New York City. Health officials reported late Thursday that New York City had added 3,100 new confirmed coronavirus cases since the same time on Wednesday, bringing the total to 23,112. By comparison, more than 4,400 new cases were added from Tuesday to Wednesday, so maybe the curve is starting to flatten out. Andrew Cuomo had suggested that, the governor. The number of virus-related deaths climbed to 365 on Thursday, up from 280 the day before. From Wednesday morning to Thursday morning, 100 people died of coronavirus in the state overall, said Andrew Cuomo at a news briefing on Thursday. He said the number of patients hospitalized in New York had shot up 40% in a day, which was the sharpest increase in days. He said that older and weaker patients have been keeping on the ventilators for 20 days or longer before they succumb to respiratory failure. So that means that the shortages that we're talking about are not just number of ventilators versus number of people who are sick. It is also that once you're on a ventilator, you're staying on a ventilator for quite a while. He says the longer you're on a ventilator, the more probability of a bad outcome. He said the governor emphasized that the numbers on any single day did not necessarily capture the damage being caused by the virus. He said when you talk to projection models, what they'll say is you get a fluctuation. They don't know if it's a deviation in what hospitals happen to report that day. So he says, don't take the day-by-day numbers in New York. Take the three-day averages, the three-day swinging averages. However, Cuomo did express some optimism that perhaps New York was, in fact, slowing the growth of the curve. With all of that said, we're still trying to figure out where these projections end up. And it's very difficult to tell where these projections end up at this point. There is the suggestion that the peak is not going to be hit until sometime in April. There's one study that came out, I mentioned it briefly yesterday, from the University of Washington School of Medicine, suggesting the coronavirus pandemic could kill more than 81,000 people in the United States in the next 4 months and might not subside until June. They say the number of hospitalized patients is expected to peak nationally by the second week of April, though the peak may come later in some states because, again, this thing does not spread perfectly evenly. Some people could continue to die of the virus as late as July, although deaths should be below epidemic levels of 10 per day by June at the latest, according to the analysis. The analysis has a wide range of outcomes, ranging from as low as 38,000 deaths to as high as 162,000 deaths, which is why, again, you should take every prediction with a grain of salt. When the range is literally fourfold, it is very difficult to tell exactly where this thing is going to go. The variance is due in part to disparate rates of the spread of the virus in different regions, which experts are still struggling to explain, said Dr. Christopher Murray, director of the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington, who led the study. The analysis also highlights the strain placed on hospitals. At the epidemic's peak, sick patients could exceed the number of available hospital beds by 64,000, could require the use of around 20,000 ventilators, which is interesting because that study says 20,000 ventilators. New York alone has been calling for 30 to 40,000. Okay, all of this has led to the politicization of talk around ventilators. There's a story from the New York Times about how the federal government had supposedly canceled a contract with GM and Ventec Life Systems to produce ventilators, and it was flying around Twitter last night. I want to give you the actual story because it's buried in like paragraph 10 of the New York Times piece. A little more on that in a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
It's hook set season at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Time to prep, do the research, hit the water, find the perfect spot, and set the hook. Gear up for fishing at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's with top brands like Johnny Morris Rod and Reels, XPS, and Nitro, along with in-store events and seminars. Your adventure starts here. Shop in-store or online.
Coming up, the New York Times reported yesterday that the Trump administration was about to buy up 80,000 ventilators, and then it fell through. Or maybe that wasn't the whole story. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Hello, I'm Jose Hernandez, and I have been using a wheelchair since my accident in 1995.
My name is Andrea Delzal, and I've been using a wheelchair since I was 5 years old.
I guess if I had one message for the general public, it would be that I appreciate your help, but please, ask first.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that I've actually got everything under control.
I think people get nervous. They don't know how to act, so they pretend I'm not there.
What probably bothers me the most is when waiters talk to my companion and not directly to me.
I think everyone with a disability can relate to that parking spot problem.
We know you're just parking in a disabled spot for a second, but please, don't. We're just looking for the same respect and consideration as everyone else.
United Spinal Association is dedicated to enhancing the quality of life of people living with spinal cord injuries and disorders. Download our disability etiquette booklet at unitedspinal.org.
Hey, cybercriminals stole the W-2 forms from my friend's company.
Yeah, scammers impersonate CEOs in email and also launch attacks from compromised accounts.
What if they target us?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda Total Email Protection.
So we're secured?
Yes. Barracuda protects businesses of all sizes with artificial intelligence that blocks spear phishing, account takeover attempts, and business email compromise.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the New York Times reported yesterday the Trump administration blew a deal to develop ventilators. This created a lot of heartburn. And the story is by David Sanger, Maggie Haberman, and Zolan Cano-Youngs. So the White House had been preparing to reveal on Wednesday a joint venture between GM and Ventec Life Systems that would allow for the production of as many as 80,000 desperately needed ventilators to respond to an escalating pandemic when word suddenly came down that the announcement was off. Now, notice, it really is fascinating how variable all these numbers are. Right? Again, I go back to my main point. Nobody knows anything. Okay, that University of Washington study says that at peak, we might need 20,000 ventilators. This story is about how the U.S. government was going to try to acquire 80,000 ventilators. Now, listen, I'd rather have too many than too few, obviously. But when you are off by, you know, a factor of four in some of these predictions, it is very difficult. I mean, this is all catch as catch can. It is incredibly sloppy. And that's just the way that life is sometimes. But let's recognize that this is not pinpoint accuracy. We have the hard data. We know what the science – we don't know a lot of things. The decision to cancel the announcement, government officials say, came after FEMA said it needed more time to assess whether the estimated cost was prohibitive. That price tag was more than $1 billion, with several hundred million dollars to be paid up front to GM to retool a car parts plant in Kokomo, Indiana, where the ventilators would be made with Ventec's technology. Government officials said the deal might still happen, but they're examining at least a dozen other proposals. They contend that an initial promise that the joint venture could turn out 20,000 ventilators in short order had shrunk to 7,500, with even that number in doubt. So that would be the actual story, right? The way that the New York Times played this and the way that the reporters tweeted this out was that the Trump administration was on the verge of generating all the ventilators overnight tomorrow, and they just decided $1 billion was too much. And so people on Twitter were like, okay, hold up a second. We're spending $6 trillion, and you can't find $1 billion to provide the ventilators? But that's not what's happening here. It sounds like GM couldn't even guarantee they were going to produce the ventilators. It sounds like they didn't even know they were going to produce 7,500 ventilators. And so the government, FEMA, went back and opened up the contract and said, okay, well, let's get some competitive bids in here. Longtime emergency managers at FEMA are working with military officials to sort through the competing offers and federal procurement rules while under pressure to give President Trump something to announce. Okay, with all of that said, President Trump got himself in a little bit of hot water yesterday because he suggested that we don't actually need 40,000 or 30,000 ventilators. He said you go into major hospitals sometimes and they will have two ventilators. And now all of a sudden they're saying, can we order 30,000 ventilators? People in the media, again, fulminating over President Trump saying that. But there's been no information that Trump is actually denying New York what it needs. Like Cuomo's calling him up and saying, I need 30,000 ventilators. And Trump's like, I don't believe you. Here's two. And they're giving them all the ventilators they can get their hands on. I mean, Cuomo himself has said that at this point. Okay, as far as where this is all going, Dr. Anthony Fauci did say yesterday, we're not going to work by Easter, right? There's no information to suggest that we're all back at work by Easter. That is very likely. I mean, that would be April 12th. It's already March 27th. We're likely not to hit the peak, according to any study, until around Easter. That is the most likely time when we hit the peak number of cases in the United States, according to sort of the pandemic studies, the pandemic methodologies that are being applied. Here's Dr. Anthony Fauci saying, no, Easter is a little bit optimistic.
I think that the president was trying to do, he was making an aspirational projection to give people some hope, but he's listening to us when we say we really got to reevaluate it in real time, and any decision we make has to be based on the data. I mean, you know, the numbers that you showed, when you have a situation when the cases today compared to tomorrow is increased dramatically, and then the next day is increased dramatically, that's no time to pull back.
Okay, and I think that everybody gets that, right? Trump was expressing an optimistic date when he said April 12th. He was not saying we're definitely open by Easter, but, you know, to have your eye on the ball as to when we reopen, that is a good thing. Now, it's time for a little bit of good news. So the kind of newfangled consensus is that the most catastrophic studies here are overstated, that the kind of estimates that huge numbers of Americans are going to die, hundreds of thousands of Americans are going to die, that is probably a wild overestimate. Coming up, the media continue to play up every catastrophic possibility here in the middle of a pandemic. Dr. Deborah Birx, the head of the coronavirus team over at the White House, she threw some cold water all over that. We'll get to it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. the original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, I'm Dan Flynn. I'm the presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those people who wish to serve on the grand jury. To apply and to get additional information, please go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
That's right. Now is your chance to apply. The Shasta County Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. Visit our website for more information.
Please apply now.
The American people to make the implication that when they need a hospital bed, it's not going to be there, or when they need that ventilator, it's not going to be there. We don't have an evidence of that right now.
Okay, so I mean, that is a pretty stunning statement, right? The media keeps saying, as I say, they keep saying kind of worst case scenario, we're going to run out of beds, ICU beds, there won't be any hospital beds, we're not going to have any ventilators, you're going to go into the hospital, it's going to look like Italy, where they're going to shuttle you off into a hallway somewhere where you choke for breath and then die. Right. And Deborah Birx is like, guys, you might want to wait on that. By the way, it's not just Deborah Birx. It's not just Deborah Birx. Bill de Blasio, right, who's been as panic-stricken as any public leader in America, truly. Right? Bill de Blasio came out today, and he said, you know, you guys keep talking about this protective gear shortage for healthcare workers in New York, and it doesn't exist. He said, there's a lot of fear. I don't blame any healthcare professional. Look what they're having to deal with. He says, the truth is we have, again, the supplies for this week and next week. We have to make sure every hospital is getting them to their extraordinary, heroic medical personnel. But they do exist, right? Chris, Andrew Cuomo, again, said the same thing. Andrew Cuomo said, we do have the personal protective equipment in New York. But if you watch the media, it's all nurses and doctors wearing trash bags, shortage of medical equipment. Everybody is going to die in the hospital after being coughed on by a patient with coronavirus. Everyone's going to have to share a ventilator. We're going to have to convert all the CPAP machines, mass casualties. Birx said, we were reassured after meeting with colleagues in New York. There are still ICU beds remaining. There's still significant, over 1,000 or 2,000 ventilators that have not been used yet. She said, like, stop exaggerating this thing. She says, you could be thinking about it in a hospital. Certainly many hospitals talk about it on a daily basis. But to say that to the American people, to make the implication that when there's a hospital bed, it's not going to be there, we don't have evidence. She said, there's no reality on the ground where we can see that 60 to 70% of Americans are going to get infected in the next 8 to 12 weeks. I just want to be clear about that. So when people say, like, a huge percentage of Americans will be infected or have been infected, that may happen in the future, but not necessarily right now. Okay, and by the way, I trust Dr. Deborah Birx more than I trust the people at the New York Times. And until 5 seconds ago, it was people at the New York Times saying we should trust Birx and not Trump. So which is it, guys? Now, what I'm saying is replicating what Fauci said. Right? I'm quoting Fauci and I'm quoting Birx. And yet, if you quote them, now this is controversial. Like, Birx started trending on Twitter yesterday for having the temerity to point out that people are getting panic-stricken about this and that the media are deliberately stoking the panic. Which is, like, again, best data suggests that there will be a lot of people who die from this. We don't have the data. I mean, this has been my constant complaint. We don't have the data from the New York government, from the federal government, as to how many ventilators they actually think we're going to need. What are the priors? What are the inputs in that model? If it's bad data in, it's bad data out. How many ventilators we are going to need that we don't already have? How those ventilators are going to be deployed? How much the New York City system is going to be overwhelmed? Are there outlying systems where people can be shifted out of hospital beds? This is happening, by the way, in New York City. People are being moved out of beds that are not ICU beds, just kind of normal hospital beds, and they're being moved to other sort of medical centers so we can make room. But the Javits Center is being converted for normal hospital beds, right? You had a surgery 2 weeks ago and you're still recovering from the surgery, but you don't need ICU care. So we're converting over a lot of the beds that are in hospitals where you can have better treatment. And we're setting up hotel rooms and stuff for people who are just sort of in recovery, but all you need is an IV, which all that stuff is being done in real time. And again, there's still serious questions to be asked about the models that are being applied in the first place, right? The Netherlands has been applying completely different models. According to Science Magazine, Martin Enserink and Kai Kupferschmidt writing, they say, with COVID-19, modeling takes on life and death importance. They say, the Netherlands has so far chosen a softer set of measures than most Western European countries. It was late to close its schools and restaurants. They didn't order a full lockdown. In a March 17th speech, Prime Minister Mark Rutte rejected working endlessly to contain the virus and shutting down the country completely. Instead, he opted for controlled spread while making sure the health system isn't swamped with COVID-19 patients, which, by the way, is sort of the South Korean model, kind of. He called on the public to respect the government's expertise on how to thread that needle. The predictions put out by Jaakko Willinga, whose computer simulations are being used by the National Institute for Public Health and the Environment over in the Netherlands, right? His simulations predict the number of infected people needing hospitalization will taper off as of next week. So there are some pretty stark differences between models, right? You have the Imperial College model that was suggesting that 500,000 people were going to die if there were no measures taken in the UK. I talked about this yesterday. And then yesterday, the head of that study suggested that thanks to the lockdown models, and then he sort of kind of slid in there, and also thanks to the lower death rate, he was predicting now that there might be only 20,000 people who died in the UK. That was not him throwing out his old model. It was him saying that if we apply like heavy tamp down, then we are going to dramatically lower the curve. I mean, that's a pretty dramatic lowering of the curve from 500,000 to 20,000. But even his models are under pressure. Oxford put out a model that suggested the death rates were even lower than that. The Netherlands has put out models suggesting that this thing is going to peak next week. Willinga is confident that the number of new infections caused by each person when no control measures are taken is just over 2. He trusts data showing that 3 to 6 days elapse between the moment someone is infected and the time they start to infect others. Willinga says he is least confident about the susceptibility of various age groups, but he also suggests that we are not going to be overwhelmed in the Netherlands. Okay, again, there's this assumption that every case is going to be worst case like Italy or Spain, but the evidence that every case is going to be like Italy or Spain is just not there. Right? It's not there at this point. Maybe it will be. Maybe it will be. We keep hearing that it's about to happen in New York City. That's why I say the tsunami may be coming. We just don't know, because it's hard to know whom to believe. The story seems to be changing on a daily basis. Right? The media are not particularly trustworthy in their tone and tenor. Right? They're bringing you best available information, but so much of it is anecdotal. The New York Times every day is printing stories about a doctor or a nurse who says we're being overwhelmed at a hospital. And then you go to the hospital administration, and the hospital administration is like, no, we're okay. I mean, we're stretched and we're strained, but we're handling it. And by the way, even in Italy, new coronavirus cases are actually slowing. According to Chico Harlan and Stefano Petrelli over at the Washington Post, Italy's nationwide lockdown is showing the first small signs of payoff. The number of coronavirus cases is still rising, but at the lowest day-on-day pace since the outbreak began. The WHO calls the slowdown encouraging. The health chief in the hardest-hit region says there's light at the end of the tunnel. Italy was the first Western country to contend with a mass outbreak and order a lockdown. Now they're trying to figure out how long the restrictions could last. But the bottom line is that even Italy, which has been overwhelmed, is starting to tamp down and move beyond the day-to-day increases in the virus, all of which is a very, very good thing. But President Trump spoke yesterday, by the way, about the resources that are being applied in the United States. He says, we're shipping tons of resources. Like, people are pretending that we're not getting masks out to people. We're not getting personal protective equipment out to people. That's not true. Here's President Trump at a press conference yesterday talking about the numbers of resources being shipped all over the country.
Today, FEMA has shipped over 9 million N95 masks, 20 million face masks, 3.1 million face shields, nearly 6,000 ventilators, 2.6 million gowns, 14.6 million gloves, and we're sending more every day, and we've got tremendous amounts of equipment coming in.
Okay, so the notion that the federal government is doing nothing is just not true. And that is a real media bias. I'm going to get to more media bias in just 1 second. President Trump said last night on Hannity that hospitals are actually being set up in New York City. Resources are being brought to bear. Right, so the panic, in other words, may be overstated. Deborah Burks, who I trust a lot more than the New York Times, is suggesting that the panic is overstated. I trust her more than I trust the New York Times. Dr. Fauci has not made any public statements, so far as I'm aware, that all of the systems in New York are going to be completely overwhelmed, death in the streets. We're going to have to choose between old patients and young patients. This is going to be Italy. Here's President Trump yesterday. He said we're building hospitals in New York.
We're building four hospitals, four medical centers, and many other things. We've developed and sent thousands of ventilators, and hopefully they're going to do well.
And so, again, resources are being brought to bear. And this does raise the question, okay, so if we have raised, as I've said all along, if we have flattened the curve enough and we have raised that line of medical resources enough that the line now clears the flattened curve, then we have to start having conversations about how to get back to work. And maybe that is not applied on an even basis across the United States because not every place is a hotspot center of this outbreak. And New York City is a hotspot center. Is Des Moines, Iowa? Right? The L.A. so far has been really trailing New York. Is L.A. exactly the same as New York? I mean, major cities are going to be the epicenters of this stuff, but how about outlying rural areas? Are we seeing mass death in the rural areas? Which, by the way, is where you sort of would expect to see mass death, considering hospital resources are far less. There are tons of counties in the United States that don't have a single hospital. There may be neighboring counties that have the hospital, but rural outlying areas, they don't actually have the medical resources being brought to bear, but you're not seeing mass death in those areas. So in 1 second, we're going to get to the question of when we reopen, because what you're going to see, it's pretty incredible. Is that Andrew Cuomo and Donald Trump are basically saying the same thing. And Donald Trump is getting just his ass kicked by the media. And meanwhile, Andrew Cuomo is getting his ass kissed by the media. Right? Trump is getting his ass kicked, and Cuomo is getting his ass kissed. And they're saying exactly the same thing about how we reopen this thing, how we open this thing back up. And that is because the media's desire for a binary narrative in which President Trump is responsible for every cruel ill of the United States, and Trump is sitting there with his arms crossed, putting on the Trump frown, and saying to people, no, not going to give ventilators. I don't even care. I don't even like ventilators. Ventilators are bad. Like, that's not happening. He and Cuomo are saying almost identical things, and the media is treating them as though they're saying things that are separated by 180 degrees, and it's just a lie. And get to that in 1 second. First, a word from our sponsor.
Look who's cheap now. You are. And millions more just like you with CheapoAir.com. Because when you spend less booking your flight, you're free to do more, see more, live more, and save more. So you can start planning your next adventure. Just download, click, or call to save on flights, hotels, car rentals, and more. Go ahead. Be cheap. CheapoAir.com. Go online or call 866-GO-CHEAP. 866-GO-CHEAP.
CheapoAir.com.
Go ahead. Be cheap.
Okay, so, as I've been saying, the media's coverage of this thing has just been a bleep show, and there's a reason that Gallup has a poll out that shows, of all the American institutions, faith in all of them has gone up, in the presidency, even in Congress, in the police, like, in all, except the media. People still hate the media. They think the media are lying to them. Why? Well, maybe it's because the media are wildly biased and insane. Probably it's because of that. Okay, I'll give you an example. So, yesterday, Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York, right, widely held by the media to be the greatest of all possible leaders, which, honestly, I found a little bit weird because Gavin Newsom has basically done exactly the same thing as Andrew Cuomo, but nobody ever talks about Gavin Newsom out in my home state of California. And Andrew Cuomo was late to the game, right? He has shifted his narrative somewhat, right? Bill de Blasio was saying, we need a full shutdown. And Cuomo's like, I'm not doing a full shutdown. And then 5 minutes later, he's like, you know what? Maybe we need a full shutdown. Well, now Andrew Cuomo is saying, maybe we shouldn't have done a total shutdown. Maybe we should have done this in parts. We had to do what we had to do on sort of a catch-as-catch-can basis, which at least he's honest about that. I think the real reason that Cuomo is getting high marks is because in these TV pressers, he seems to be authentic and honest, which, again, is all the media care about. It's all performance art for the media. But in any case, Andrew Cuomo says, maybe we shouldn't have done a total shutdown, which is weird because when Trump says this sort of thing, he gets ripped up and down.
What we did was we closed everything down. That was our public health strategy, just close everything, all businesses, all workers, young people, old people, short people, tall people, every school, close everything. If you rethought that or had time to analyze that public health strategy, I don't know that you would say quarantine everyone. I don't even know that that was the best public health policy.
Yeah, there's Cuomo acknowledging full on that maybe we should have considered other public health policies. And this is one of the problems, is that in the middle of a panic, which this basically is, and maybe for good reason, the easiest thing to do is try to hit the policy with a blunt instrument, right? That's what this giant bailout package was, or stimulus bill, whatever you want to call it. It really isn't the bailout. It really isn't even a stimulus. It's more like a shoring up bill. That is hitting a button with a blunt instrument. It's taking a hammer and hitting a nail. And the nail may be tiny, and the hammer may be huge. And the same thing is true with these sort of lockdown thing. As I say, I'm not anti-lockdown. I'm just saying that as more data comes out, we need to seriously reconsider exactly how we go about getting back to our daily business and how we go about getting back to lives. I say that, people rip me up and down, you're not taking this seriously enough. Andrew Cuomo says the exact same thing, and people are like, oh man, what a genius. I mean, wow, like he's really being serious about this thing. Here is Andrew Cuomo saying, over time, maybe some people can go back to work.
How do you modify the public health strategy to make it smarter from a public health point of view, but also starts to get you back to work? Younger people can go back to work.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Coverage of Trump is very bad, but everybody's sort of saying the same thing, and everybody is also saying, underlying all of this, that we're all waiting for more data. So here's the deal. Let's wait for the data. Let's get all the resources where they need to be, and then let's wait for the data. By the end of next week, we're going to know an awful lot more. I thought, frankly, we were going to know an awful lot more by the end of this week. I mean, given the projections, I thought by this Friday, we were going to know whether the health systems were going to be overwhelmed. It looks like it's lagged a bit, maybe because of this lockdown. Probably because, at least in large part, because of the lockdown. But we're going to find out by the end of next week, certainly by the week after that, we're going to be finding out exactly how bad this thing is going to be. Because by pretty much everybody's estimation, early April, mid-April, you're going to start to see this thing start to pick up in terms of tempo and peak. And then the question is going to be, did we have the resources that were necessary on hand? Are we Italy? Or do we end up just being the UK, right, where, again, the new estimates suggest that the health system will not be overwhelmed? A little more on that in a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
It's hook set season at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Time to prep, do the research, hit the water, find the perfect spot, and set the hook. Gear up for fishing at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. With top brands like Johnny Morris Rod and Reels, XPS, and Nitro, along with in-store events and seminars. Your adventure starts here. Shop in-store or online.
Coming up, everybody retreating to their priors as Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, says we need to spend even more. We just passed the largest spending bill in the history of the United States and of the world, and she wants more money. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Nancy Pelosi has her eye on the prize, and the prize is spending a lot more of your money. The Democrats are moving swiftly to try and make, to try and use crisis in order to push forward even more spending. So Nancy Pelosi, who held up a bill that her own party had helped negotiate over the weekend, is supposed to vote on this thing today, right? The House is supposed to vote on this thing today. Nancy Pelosi says, well, this is just the beginning. We're going to spend even more and more and more and more. We literally are expending $6 trillion, $6 trillion. To put that by way of contrast, the entire American economy on a yearly basis is about $20 trillion. We're spending about one-third of the entire American economy in like a week, seriously, on this thing. And Nancy Pelosi's like, but we can spend more. We should always spend more. And it's like, okay, really, it feels like people are very uncomfortable, just generally. People are extremely uncomfortable with not being able to simply go back to their pre-existing suppositions about the way the world works. And so as quickly as possible, people move back into their fighting corners and they wait for the situation to emerge or they can go back to fighting the way that they are used to fighting. Whenever there's a pandemic, whenever there's something brutal that happened with 9/11, whenever there's a major crisis, people get out of their corners for just a minute and they think to themselves, okay, how do I help out my neighbors? How do we craft a policy that works for right now? How would you? And then as soon as humanly possible, we're not comfortable in that space. We're comfortable going back to our corners. And so you see people like Nancy Pelosi immediately swivel into Green New Deal. You see Nancy Pelosi swivel into, we need more spending. And you see Republicans, meanwhile, swivel back into their priors, too. Like, everybody swivels back into their priors. Now, listen, I agree with the Republican priors, obviously, a lot more than the Democrat priors. But how about this? How about we just wait? I know it's the hardest thing to do. It's the hardest thing to do in life. But we don't have enough data to be jumping on, let's spend trillions more dollars. And we also don't have enough hard data at this point to say, reopen the American economy wholesale. And I don't think tons of people are saying the latter. I think a lot of people are saying the former. Here's Nancy Pelosi claiming we need to spend even more and more and more and more forever more.
We had bigger direct payments in our bill. I don't think we've seen the end of direct payments. This is an emergency, a challenge to the conscience as well as the budget of our country. And every dollar that we spend is an investment in the lives and the livelihood of the American people. We can go bigger, especially now the interest rates are even lower than the at the time of the tax scam.
We can go even bigger. How? Endlessly? Why do you just inflate the currency? Who's going to buy our bonds? Like, this is basically the Democrats are in real time now going to try, according to Nancy Pelosi, to apply Elizabeth Warren's modern monetary theory, which suggests that you can just float debt just interminably, just forever. You can just continue to take out debt and debt and debt and debt. Well, that assumes there's an appetite for the debt. Who the hell has the money to pay for the debt right now? Do you think Britain's going to be buying American bonds en masse? How about China? You think they're going to be buying American bonds? By the way, breaking news, China had started reopening all of their movie theaters. Weirdly, they are now closing all of their movie theaters again. So what do you think? You think the coronavirus thing is done in China? You think we've been given accurate statistics about China? I think not. I think not. So all of this happy talk from Nancy Pelosi, let's go back to our priors. Let's completely remake the world economy like Bernie would want. Like, how about this? How about we deal with the crisis at hand, and we all get out of those corners, and we deal with it. And then we start figuring out how we go back to a life that happened before. Because I'll tell you what, right now life is a lot worse than it was 3 weeks ago, a lot worse than it was 4 weeks ago. How about we set our sights on, let's get back to where we were 4 weeks ago before you decide that you want to fundamentally transform the American economy along your ridiculous big government lines. How about that? Let's start there. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. President Donald Trump has signed a massive economic rescue bill into law in response to the economic toll caused by the coronavirus pandemic.
After final passage on Capitol Hill, the $2.2 trillion package was rushed to the White House and signed by the president during an Oval Office ceremony.
This will deliver urgently needed relief to our nation's families, workers, and businesses.
Under the plan, many single Americans will receive $1,200, married couples $2,400, and parents will see $500 for each child. The White House and Congress hope the infusion of money will serve as a lifeline to a hurting economy. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Texas joined other states Thursday in imposing quarantines on travelers from the New York area, the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak in the U.S., and put similar restrictions on people arriving from nearby New Orleans as the number of cases there surges dramatically.
I'm issuing an executive order consistent with the guidance from Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci as it relates to people traveling from the New York tri-state area. Those entering the state of Texas through an airport, either in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut, will be subject to a mandatory self-quarantine for 14 days or for the duration of their stay in Texas, whichever is shorter.
The Navy hospital ship Mercy has arrived at the port of Los Angeles near Long Beach. California Governor Gavin Newsom, at a briefing outside the Navy hospital ship, says everyone in the state needs to take steps to prepare for the upcoming peak of the new coronavirus. Iranian media reports that hundreds of people have been killed, more than 1,000 people sickened by ingesting methanol in the mistaken belief that it protects against the coronavirus. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Millions of people are ditching those expensive cable TV bills and saving thousands with Select TV's new cord-cutting kit, only $19.95 a year. Select TV's Smart Guide brings you over 500,000 TV shows and movies from major networks, over 1,500 live streaming channels, thousands of free radio stations, and a pay-per-view deal finder. Plus, combine all your streaming services like Netflix and Amazon. Order now and get an HD TV antenna absolutely free, a $20 value, so you can get your local channels, news, sports, and weather. Select TV uses your existing internet connection. Watch on your smart TV, mobile phone, laptop, and Android streaming devices. All for just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 800-576-6801 or visit selecttv.com. Again, that's 800-576-6801 or visit selecttv.com for this free HD TV antenna offer from Select TV and never pay those expensive cable bills again.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has tested positive for the new coronavirus.
10 Downing Street says Johnson was tested on the advice of the chief medical officer after showing mild symptoms. In a video message, the Prime Minister says he had a temperature and a persistent cough. But he says, thanks to the wizardry of modern technology, people should have no doubt that he can continue with his responsibilities and lead Britain's fight against the coronavirus. Johnson's office says he's self-isolating at 10 Downing Street. I'm Ben Thomas.
An investigation at a Seattle area nursing home concluded that symptoms aren't enough to identify who is infected once the coronavirus enters a long-term care facility. Residents without symptoms could have the virus, so it won't work to simply separate those with symptoms from others. Investigators found that screening based on symptoms alone may be failing to identify half the residents who are infected with COVID-19. News and analysis at townhall.com. The rules on social distancing in the wake of the new coronavirus is changing the role of police officers in many communities. Here's correspondent Jackie Quinn, who files this report.
New York City, fighting terrorism has always been a top priority.
Pretty loose.
But now law enforcement is taking down basketball hoops to enforce the restriction against too many people coming into too close contact. In Lakewood, New Jersey, police broke up a wedding. Too many people. And Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti says he's encouraging neighbors to rat out offenders who are violating the safe at home rules.
Actually have the mayor's permission to say, hey, what are you doing? Get away from each other. You're too close. Why are you going out?
In San Francisco, a city official had to threaten a year in jail and a $1,000 fine to organizers planning a party for 200 people.
That's more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
The California Teachers Association is looking to add transgender and binary youth to the students who can leave class without notifying parents for medical reasons. In other words, this means students can pursue gender transition without parents knowing about it. Permission slips are required to engage in extracurricular activities. But when it involves a student's health and well-being, folks, the CTA does not have the best interests of students at heart. In fact, it's their goal to push their agenda on vulnerable children. Please join PGI in prayer for parents and children impacted by this policy.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
And welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. A lot coming up for you this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll be taking your calls at 855-236-3228, 855-236-3228. Also, the New York Times ran an op-ed today blaming evangelical Christians for coronavirus. Yes, on the list of people who you would normally blame for coronavirus, I'd put the evangelicals, like, not on the list. But apparently, according to a New York Times op-ed columnist, they are number one with a bullet on the list. We'll get to that in a little bit. First, we must discuss the mayoralty of Bill de Blasio in New York. He's a disaster area. I mean, dude is just a disaster area. And while he goes around lecturing Americans about how President Trump is the real problem with coronavirus and his city is the hardest hit city in all of America, let us recall that it was Bill de Blasio's administration that was going around and whistling through the graveyard, basically telling everybody that all was well and go out and celebrate and enjoy your life. There's a good article by Jim Garrity at National Review on this. He put out a timeline of all of Bill de Blasio's activities basically throughout this pandemic. He says, by January 26th, the world had 2,014 reported cases of the coronavirus, with the vast majority in China, but 29 in 10 other countries, including two in the United States. An unknowable but significant number of asymptomatic carriers were traveling around the world, unwittingly spreading it further. The opportunity to contain the virus in Wuhan or within China had long since passed, hindered by the Chinese government's false public statements that human-to-human transmission wasn't occurring. By the way, there's news today that China has been reclosing all of their movie theaters. So if you think that they've been telling the truth, they have not been telling the truth. 2 days earlier, New York City officials laid out their preparedness plans, accurately assessing that the city's international travel hub and large population made the coronavirus's arrival just about inevitable. Mayor Bill de Blasio declared, quote, "We have to act on the assumption that there will unfortunately be cases sooner rather than later in New York City. We are working from the assumption it's a profound challenge. There's no one here minimizing it." But then de Blasio said, "What we do know to date is that only through prolonged exposure can someone contract the virus. It is not a situation as with some other diseases where a single contact would be enough." This was the first time, says Garrity, that city officials unknowingly shared information about coronavirus that was not accurate. They encouraged city residents to continue activities that probably continued to spread the virus. So we have a couple of examples of that. The New York Health Commissioner on February 7th actually told New Yorkers, take the subway, enjoy life, party it up, guys. It's all a big party.
The thing for New Yorkers to know is that in the city currently, their risk is low and our city preparedness is high. And so we know that this virus can be transmitted from one individual to another, but that it's typically people who live together, that there's no risk at this point in time. We're always learning more about having it be transmitted in casual contact. Mm-hmm. Right. So we're telling New Yorkers, go about your lives, take the subway, go out, enjoy life, but practice everyday precautions.
Dr. Xeris Barbo, commissioner of the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, always the government experts on top of things. She also said, like, just a couple of days later, she said, go out, take the subway, go to a parade, hang out in public, hug strangers. Well done, New York City government. Here she was saying that.
To New Yorkers, for coronavirus is low, and that our preparedness as a city is very high. There is no reason not to take the subway, not to take the bus, not to go out to your favorite restaurant, and certainly not to miss the parade next Sunday. I'm going to be there.
Yeah, go to the parade, eat at the restaurants, really enjoy life. Just enjoy life. Dr. Paul Perea-Henze was the city's deputy mayor for health and human services. He said on January 24th, quote, the de Blasio administration is prepared for the likelihood of the coronavirus in New York. We urge all New Yorkers to continue to pursue their everyday activities and routines, but to remain aware of the facts about coronavirus. Those with a travel history should see a doctor at the first sign of any flu-like symptoms. On January 26th, she said we're encouraging, and this would be Dr. Barbeau, she said we encourage New Yorkers to go about their everyday life. Now, Trump had made comments on January 22nd, suggesting also that it was not a major threat, but he's been ripped up and down for that. Meanwhile, the officials in New York City have basically gotten off scot-free. Americans were already grasping the scale of the threat by the time this stuff by the time all these doctors were talking. In late January, five radiologists and doctors at Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York began their work as part of an international team at making the first study of computed tomography scans, that would be CT scans, of lungs of coronavirus patients in China. The study, which was published on February 4th, concluded that the CT scans had many similar features to SARS and MERS, but for weeks, city officials discouraged New Yorkers from altering their routines or behaviors. On January 28th, de Blasio recognized that the world's understanding was probably hindered by the Chinese government, but still, go ahead and do what you want. He said, what we now know is the virus was underestimated by the Chinese government. He said, it's probably here in the form of individuals, in the, you know, existing individuals who have been to Wuhan. But he continued to call on people to go out in public and enjoy themselves. On February 1st, New York City had its first suspected case of coronavirus at Bellevue in a patient who had traveled to China. Flushing, Queens, canceled its annual Lunar New Year Chinese Temple Bazaar scheduled for that day. Health officials identified two more potential cases a couple of days later. And Mayor de Blasio said, people should be very clear about what this disease is and what it isn't, and New Yorkers are not intimidated easily. New Yorkers should continue to go about our lives and continue doing what we do. Health Commissioner Barbeau tweeted, as we gear up to celebrate the Lunar New Year in New York City, I want to assure New Yorkers there's no reason for anyone to change their holiday plans, avoid the subway or certain parts of the city because of coronavirus. Also on that day, the federal government took more steps to restrict people who are entering the country from the area around Wuhan. On February 4th, China's consul general in New York thanked the Chinese American community and other concerned Americans for their aid in battling coronavirus and criticized the, quote, overreaction by the American government in restricting travel. Mayor de Blasio declared, quote, it's 2 full weeks between when you might contract it and when it might show symptoms or any time within. But people would have reason to think they have it or have been in close contact with people. If they get that description, they need to get health care. He also noted that New York City has a huge Chinese population. Still, the New York City government continued to tell people to go out. So it was not as though the New York City government was completely unaware of what was going on. The city government tried to purchase 200,000 N95 masks on February 7th. Nonetheless, New York City went ahead in Chinatown and held its annual Lunar New Year parade on February 9th. AM New York described the scene. Surgical masks were nearly absent from this parade as organizers, elected officials, costume characters, and visitors alike showed none of the fear caused by news of the virus's spread in China. Mayor de Blasio and other officials jammed a stage on Hester Street on Mott Street in the heart of Chinatown. And de Blasio said, we know in China so many of our loved ones are facing the challenges of coronavirus, but we stand together. Chuck Schumer came along. He said, we love the fact that so many people come from all across the globe and make our city and our country a better place. Councilman Mark Levine tweeted out, quote, in a powerful show of defiance of coronavirus scare, huge crowds gathering in New York City's Chinatown for ceremony ahead of annual Lunar New Year parade. Chance of be strong, Wuhan. If you are staying away, you are missing out. Well done, city officials. Mayor Bill de Blasio then conducted a taped interview February 13th with NBC News. He said, we have an extraordinary public health apparatus here in New York City. He said, this should not stop you from going about your life. It shouldn't stop you from going to Chinatown and going out to eat. I'm going to do that today, later myself. New York City Council Speaker Corey Johnson said that same day, it's important to support the Chinese community in New York City. Unfortunately, many businesses and restaurants in Chinatown, Flushing, Sunset Park are suffering because some customers are afraid of coronavirus, but those fears are not based on facts and science. I urge everyone to dine and shop as usual. At this point, doctors were already warning that casual contact could spread the virus. On February 25th, the CDC issued a warning to the public saying person-to-person spread of COVID-19 appears to occur mainly by respiratory transmission. Nancy Missoni, a director of the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, said cities and towns should plan for social distancing measures. Now, Dr. Fauci, it's worth noting, sounded concerned but not alarmed. He said you need to do nothing different than you're already doing, but if an outbreak occurred, then you'd want to think of social distancing. Mayor de Blasio then held an update on February 26th, and he said we shouldn't hold this thing lightly. He said, I think the problem we're seeing in many countries is that there was not an aggressive approach. He said, we took the exact opposite approach here. And then he said, we have 1,200 hospital beds. We should be able to handle this. De Blasio appeared on Morning Joe the next day. He said, we have literally 1,200 hospital beds. We're fine. He said, the country should be good. So bottom line is that, you know, everybody is sort of now going back in the timeline and pretending that everybody kind of knew what was going on early February, late January, and that everyone should have been on high alert. And look at Trump. Why didn't he have the masks ready? Why wasn't everybody on high? If Trump had said January 26th, guys, not only are we shutting down travel from China, we need a two-week shutdown in the United States right now so we can ramp the testing up. We need to spend billions of dollars on masks, and we need everybody to go home for like a week or two. Do you think anyone would have gone along with that? The answer, of course, is no. No. Okay, on March 2nd, Governor Cuomo said, in this situation, facts defeat fear. The reality is reassuring. It's deep breath time. He said, 1.4%, the fatality rate, that's extrapolating from China. 80% will resolve on its own. He said, the facts don't back the anxiety. What happened in other countries versus what happened here, we don't even think it's going to be as bad as it was in other countries. He said, it's really important to get information out to all New Yorkers. I'm encouraging New Yorkers to go on with your lives and get out on the town despite coronavirus. He said that March 2nd. So whenever you see this sort of revisionist history in which people suggest that everybody knew everything early on, just remember, Bill de Blasio didn't know. Andrew Cuomo didn't know. This has been a fast-moving situation. And so when you hear Democrats ripping on Trump, when you see them cutting ads, like there's an ad that the Joe Biden campaign cut talking about Trump's early response, downplaying all of this stuff, I think that is worthwhile noting that everybody was downplaying this stuff, Democrats, Republicans alike. And that is a screw-up for sure. But the notion that this was a partisan screw-up as opposed to a bipartisan screw-up is just silly. On March 4th, the same health commissioner, Dr. Bardot, in New York, she said there's no indication being in a car, being in subways is a risk factor. And then on March 5th, de Blasio finally said maybe the virus could be spread by casual contact, maybe. He said, now we may have community spread. On March 6th, he finally said, New Yorkers are heeding the warnings. He said, I'm seeing people go about their business. He said, if someone's on the same train car as another person, that does not create a dynamic where you have an opportunity to catch the disease. It's people in close contact will keep updating that. It wasn't until March 8th that he first started discouraging handshakes. And he said, we're not altering our stance on public events. This is as of March 8th. Again, you can't have it both ways, guys. Either Cuomo and de Blasio and Trump were all wrong about this thing, or they were all operating off the information that they had at the time. So propaganda that sort of suggests that Trump was uniquely downplaying this thing, and I've just read you all the quotes, that obviously is not true. Now, meanwhile, the question becomes whether the United States healthcare system is going to be overwhelmed. There's a new survey out being reported by the Washington Post. As nearly 90% of U.S. mayors who responded to a national survey on coronavirus preparedness said they lack sufficient test kits, face masks, and other protective equipment for their emergency responders and medical workers. 85% said they don't have enough ventilators for their hospitals, critical shortages that could lead cities and towns to be quickly overwhelmed if the virus spread to their communities. That U.S. Conference of Mayors survey, which was published on Friday, was conducted March 20th to 24th, included data from 213 U.S. cities in 41 states, representing a combined population of 42 million. The shortage has reached crisis proportions, according to the report. Despite best efforts, most cities do not have and cannot obtain adequate equipment and supplies needed to protect their residents, said the report. This is a life-threatening crisis that will continue unless the feds do everything they can to help safeguard our first responders. Okay, that may very well be true. It also may very well be true that the federal government is not the sole first line of defense here. I mean, localities and states need to be working to obtain this stuff rather than just shouting at the federal government. The U.S. Conference of Mayors and Nonpartisan Associations had conducted the rapid survey to draw the attention of lawmakers working on stimulus and relief legislation. It is not a surprise. I mean, if you're a mayor and you said we're doing fine, you're probably going to get hit the minute that you're not doing fine. So obviously mayors are going to say, it doesn't mean they're lying, but they're obviously not going to say, yeah, everything is going well. Taken together, the cities reported a need for 28.5 million face masks, 24.4 million items of personal protective equipment like gowns and gloves, 7.9 million test kits, and 139,000 ventilators. Now, I don't know where they're coming up with these statistics exactly. I'd be curious to find out. So bottom line is this. We are ramping up production, ventilators, masks. We're ramping up distribution. And we're going to find out in relatively short order whether we become Italy. I would bet no, but it always could go the other way. Already coming up, we're going to talk about the media and who they blame for this whole thing. The New York Times has an op-ed blaming evangelical Christians. Of course, this is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Hey, have you seen the new cyber threat warning about the conversation
hijacking? Totally. Cyber criminals are using email account takeover and brand impersonation to insert themselves into email conversations and steal money from businesses.
Right. That's why I tell my clients about
Barracuda. Same here. They use artificial intelligence to detect and block sophisticated attacks, including account takeover and brand impersonation.
Man, I guess you did see it.
Don't become a victim. Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, this week, the New Orleans mayor blamed President Trump for not shutting down Mardi Gras. The mayor's name is Cantrell, and she suggested that President Trump is to blame for the city of New Orleans not shutting down Mardi Gras. Here she was on CNN with Wolf Blitzer.
You're saying no one from the federal government came to you and urged you to at least cancel or postpone Mardi Gras.
That's absolutely correct. And not only that, it was backed up with the response of our national leader. When it's not taken seriously at the federal level, it's very difficult to transcend down to the local level in making these decisions.
What? Her name is LaToya Cantrell, the mayor of New Orleans. Now, last I checked, she's the mayor of New Orleans. Donald Trump is not the mayor of New Orleans. You know who's the mayor of Los Angeles? Eric Garcetti, not Donald Trump. At least Garcetti isn't out there trying to claim that it's Trump's fault that he allowed the L.A. Marathon to happen like 2 weeks ago on a Sunday in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, this woman going out there and suggesting that she needed a personal phone. By the way, you know what would have happened if Trump had called her up and said, you know, you really should shut down Mardi Gras on the basis of this coronavirus pandemic in mid-February? When, by the way, half the media was still not taking this seriously, like, at all. I mean, really, like, Vox.com ran a piece on January 31st about why this was going to be no worse than the seasonal flu. For her to suggest that if Trump had called her up and been like, I want you to shut down Mardi Gras, she would have been like, Mr. President, you can't do that. Right? Like, of course that's what she would have said. She would have said, like, are you kidding? Why would I shut down Mardi Gras? She's the mayor. Okay, if you're a local leader and you blew it, it's because you blew it. Why are we pretending the President of the United States is some godlike figure who can descend from on high and then order you to do all the things you're supposed to do as a local leader? You get the same crap from Bill de Blasio. You're the mayor of a major city. You tried to run for president on the basis of that. It seems to me you should be able to make some local decisions. Weird, because it seems like there are some local leaders who did make some of those local decisions to shut down major public events. That her blaming Trump for the outbreak in New Orleans is just, like, everything is Trump's fault. Or, alternatively, again, everybody's shifting back to their priors. The New York Times ran a piece today called The Road to Coronavirus Hell Was Paved by Evangelicals. Evangelicals, okay, let me just ask a question. So the centers of the outbreak that we've seen thus far are China, famous for its huge evangelical Christian population, China. I mean, just tons of evangelicals over there. It's like a convention of religious evangelical Christians over in China, a communist atheist country. And then Italy, again, hugely famous for having tons of evangelicals in Italy. Not like it's the home of the Catholic Church or anything. Like, it's all evangelicals over in Italy. And in the United States, New York City, where evangelicals just swarm New York City. I know, like, probably two-thirds of the population of New York City is evangelical. Of course, I'm being a little sarcastic here, and by a little, I mean a lot. But if you're blaming evangelicals for the outbreak of coronavirus, by the way, these are the same people, presumably, who would say that if you say Chinese virus is very, very racist. If you blame it on the government of China, very racist. But you blame the evangelicals. Evangelicals are sitting over here like, what in the world? Like, us? Seriously? But the New York Times ran this piece anyway, because nothing says unifying the country like blaming evangelicals for coronavirus. Catherine Stewart, the author of The Power Worshippers, Inside the Dangerous Rise of Religious Nationalism. So her priors are fairly well established. She says Donald Trump rose to power with the determined assistance of a movement that denies science, bashes government, and prioritizes loyalty over professional expertise. In the current crisis, we are all reaping what that movement has sown. At least since the 19th century, when the pro-slavery theologian Robert Louis Dabney attacked the physical sciences as theories of unbelief, hostility to science has characterized the more extreme forms of religious nationalism in the United States. Today, the hardcore of climate deniers is concentrated among people who identify as religiously conservative Republicans. And some leaders of the Christian nationalist movement, like those allied with Cornwall Alliance for the Steward of Creation, which has denounced environmental science as the cult of the green dragon, cast environmentalism as an alternative and false theology. This denial of science and critical thinking among religious ultra-conservatives now haunts the American response to the coronavirus crisis. Just going to point out, is Anthony Fauci, who stands next to Trump like every single day on the podium, is that guy like an evangelical Christian science denier? How about Deborah Birx? How about Jerome Adams, the guy, the Surgeon General, that doctor? All of those guys are evangelicals? Trump is listening to people who deny science totally, while also recommending what his scientists tell them? On March 15th, says this columnist, Guillermo Maldonado, who calls himself an apostle and hosted Mr. Trump earlier this year at a campaign event at his Miami megachurch, urged his congregants to show up for worship services in person. Do you believe God would bring his people to his house to be contagious with the virus? Of course not, he said. Okay, so your best evidence that Trump is following evangelical science deniers, your best evidence is that a guy who hosted Trump at a campaign event earlier this year said a thing now. That, wow, strong evidence, New York Times. Really, really doing amazing work over here, blaming evangelicals for the rise of coronavirus. Religious nationalism, says this columnist, has brought to American politics the conviction that our political differences are a battle between absolute evil and absolute good. Only a heroic leader free from the scruples of political correctness can save the righteous from the damned. Fealty to the cause is everything. Fidelity to the facts means nothing. Perhaps this is why many Christian nationalist leaders greeted the news of the coronavirus as an insult to their chosen leader. Okay, honestly, this is so tiresome. It's so unbelievably tiresome. In the middle of a pandemic, how about you put aside your hatred for evangelical Christians and you just say, listen, we're all Americans, we're all in this together, and we are all waiting for the data to come out, as opposed to blame the Christians. Truly insane. Truly insane stuff from the New York Times, but there you have it, the New York Times doing its best to divide the country with their op-ed page in the middle of a pandemic. Really solid stuff there. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Make no payment for up to 120 days. That's 4 months on all new 2020 Kia Sportages, Sorentos, Fortes, Souls, and Optimas. No first payment for 120 days on approval of credit. Ends March 31st, 2020. Redding Kia, reddingkia.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
Hi, this is Linda Bodd. Join me May 15th, 2020 at 12 o'clock p.m. in the Reading Rodeo Grounds in Reading, California. Chicks and Chaps will be conducting their annual fundraiser to benefit local individuals impacted by breast cancer. The event will be emceed by yours truly with guest speaker Lynn Fritz, licensed marriage and family therapist. Limited to 100 tickets, which are available through Facebook at Chicks and Chaps Reading or through readingrodeo.com. Think pink and see you there.
Make no payment for up to 120 days. That's 4 months on all new 2020 Kia Sportages, Sorentos, Fortes, Souls, and Optimas. No first payment for 120 days on approval of credit. Ends March 31st, 2020. Redding Kia, reddingkia.com.
Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're hanging out together because it's a Friday, and Friday's like every other day now, so... Why not join us at 855-236-3228? That is 855-236-3228. David in Flagstaff, Arizona, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, David.
Good morning, sir. So I was sent a petition to sign this morning for letting people out of prison because of this COVID-19. And usually I wouldn't even entertain the idea, but I looked at it, and there was already like 35,000 of the 50 that they require. And they say they're only going to be letting out the elderly and the sick. I still don't see how that's beneficial to anybody. What are your thoughts on it?
So I totally understand that people who are elderly and are you know, basically they've served out their sentences, letting them out so that they don't get infected in prison is not a horrible idea. But the problem is whenever people say that they're low-risk offenders, the recidivism rate among low-risk offenders is not 0%. Right? It's actually a lot higher than 0%. And so I am not sure why, just because we are now retroactively deeming you a low-risk offender, you should be let out of prison. I mean, the answer to this obviously is better care in the prisons and better cleanliness in the prisons. I understand that can't be done on a moment's notice, but it seems like there are a lot of law-abiding citizens who are going to suffer if we let a lot of criminals out of prison. Again, the elderly are one thing. You know, you're an 80-year-old person and you were put in for a charge of breaking and entering or something, and that was your third strike. Like, the chances that you're going to get coronavirus are probably higher than the chances that you are going to go rob a store, right? You're going to participate in an armed robbery at this point. But I agree that the idea, like in L.A., we have this dystopian reality where they've basically decided they're just not going to prosecute low-level offenses. Like, they won't hold you in jail for it. So you're just having people who are committing crimes being let out. Nobody's getting arrested. And the people who are going to pay for that are the law-abiding business owners who are staying at home right now. They're going to come back to work, and their front window is going to be smashed, and somebody smashed and grabbed the cash register. So, you know, that seems like idiocy to me, David.
Yeah, I agree with you, sir. I don't really see how it would benefit them coming out and potentially having a higher risk of getting it when they could isolate the older people instead of letting them out, or the people who are immune deficient. I don't think it's a very good idea. I just wanted to see your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, my focus largely is on law-abiding citizens. You know, criminals have rights once they serve their sentences, but – you know, the answer here is that our prisons are wildly understaffed. Generally, our prisons are in very poor condition. That's a broader issue. I understand the exigent circumstances for the sick and people who have immunodeficiencies. But if you are just a low risk offender and you're not any more vulnerable than any other member of the population in prison, and you just happen to be quote unquote low risk, I don't understand why we should let you out based on this, David. I really appreciate the call. Carrie in Michigan, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Carrie.
I was calling to see if you could break down a little bit this corona bill. There was a lot of stuff snuck into the first couple drafts, and I was wondering if there was any other kind of stuff like that that was snuck in that you could kind of break down.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of crap in this bill, Carrie. I mean, when you spend $2 trillion, it turns out that you can find yourself hundreds of millions of dollars for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That's in there. That you can find yourself $25 million for the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in New York City. That's in there. It turns out that you can find millions and millions of dollars for various kind of pork projects. You can also have provisions in there on corporate diversity. You can have provisions in there that basically make it so that if you're a venture capital firm, if you're a firm that has been invested in by venture capital, you may not be eligible for small business loans. Like that's a serious question right now that's being litigated and that may need to be clarified in follow-up legislation. One of the bigger issues that I've been getting calls from small businesses about is I can't get a loan for my company unless I retain 90% of my workforce. But you just also incentivized everybody to quit because let's say I run a restaurant, and let's say that my restaurant has a bunch of waiters, and those waiters are being paid, you know, $15 an hour. And now they're going to get an unemployment benefit that is the state plus the federal unemployment benefit, and they're going to get that for 4 months. So they're going to get paid like four times as much money as they were making, or three times as much money as they were making for being unemployed as they are for being employed. Well, how exactly am I supposed to maintain 90% employment when you've actually incentivized people to quit, right? It's actually sticking some companies between a rock and a hard place. It's not a good bill. I mean, let's just be real about this. It is not a good piece of legislation. It is a necessary piece of legislation because if we don't provide some form of redress for the companies that are being forcibly shut down right now, if we don't support people who have rent to pay and mortgages to pay, then the entire economy is going to collapse in on itself like a dying star. I mean, this is the greatest economic shock in the history of the United States, and it is not close. I mean, we're going to go to 30% unemployment by some estimates within the next 3 weeks. So that, I mean, 40% of small businesses are basically shut down at this point. Just because it's necessary doesn't mean it's a good bill. It's a piece of crap. But again, the piece of crap bill at this point is a better stopgap than nothing. We are basically filling a hole in the dam with dog do, and better than nothing, but it's still dog do, Carrie.
Right. One more follow-up. I had read that they found the money somehow to give themselves, all the senators and congressmen and women, a raise. Is that true?
That is true. That is true. There is a provision in there that gives additional funding for the staff, or for staffing up for Congress members, I believe. I'm not sure. I don't know if that's a raise directly for Congress people, but they definitely gave themselves money to staff up their offices, which, again, like, this is what Congress does. It's all pork barrel nonsense. And they figure, okay, it's a $2 trillion bill. We have to pass it. It will pass unanimously. It literally passed unanimously in the Senate. That means you can pretty much stick whatever you want in there. And that's exactly what happens. This is why crises are really, really bad, because politicians have every incentive to raise the response to the crisis to the levels where they can do crazy things. Carrie, appreciate the call. Zach in Huntington Beach, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Zach.
I want to hear your thoughts on how President Trump has been dealing with the COVID-19 thing, and when do you think it's going to end? Do you think there's a turning point in the near future of when this thing's going to hit the downhill slide?
So a few questions there. So number one, on President Trump's handling, early on, he was exactly right to shut down travel from China. The big mistake is that the CDC and the FDA prevented the increase in testing. The increase in testing needed to happen right away in order so that we wouldn't have to have a mass lockdown like we have right now. We could have gone South Korea, heavy testing, find the hotspots, contact, basically trail all the contacts of people, contact tracing, so we can figure out, you know, who's transmitting to whom. None of that was possible, and so you get community infection, and now you have basically, we have to lock this thing down until we can, you know, make this thing tamped down to the extent that we can go back to heavy testing. So that was the big flaw in the Trump administration response. Since then, they have been ramping up response. I don't see anything they've been doing that I think is wrong. I think they've been doing a lot of things that are right, including the refusal to use the blunderbuss that is the federal government's powers in order to leverage private industry into doing things that private industry was going to do anyway. I like that Trump is resistant to nationalization and use of the Defense Production Act. I think that's a good thing. I think that President Trump openly suggesting that we need to think about how we go back to a normal economy. That's not a bad thing. That should be on the forefront of everybody's mind. This is a major, major issue. We just destroyed the world economy. So we better figure out how to build that thing back up within the next couple of months, or there's not going to be a world economy left to save, because not just us, it's the rest of the world that depends on our productive and consumptive capacity. So I think all of that's good. As far as the deadline for the lockdown to end, I have a feeling that we're going to start to see serious push toward people, you know, re-entering. Let's see. It's March. It's the end of the March 29th, begins Sunday. I'm going to say that the serious push comes end of April, beginning of May. So I think it's going to be at least another couple of weeks of lockdown. I think that there's going to be, because I think that you're going to start seeing numbers coming out of New York City that are either going to be more than expected or less than expected. If less than expected, then maybe sooner. But if more than expected, then I think that you are going to see the if it's more than expected, then there will be a lot more leeway for people, for governments to say, we want you to stay at home. So I think from all the people I've talked to, all the medical experts I've talked to, they think it's going to start waning around May. And maybe by the beginning of June, we're back to, you know, quasi normal, meaning still social distancing, but you can still go to a restaurant, that you may go to events, but you may have to wear a face mask to the event, and nobody's going to be shaking hands, right? That sort of stuff, because summer will help dampen this down, according to the latest studies. But I would say that when are people going to actually go back to their offices? Probably late April, early May is when I would suggest. But again, that's based on nothing, and we'll see how the data bears up, Zach.
Cool. Right. Cool. Thanks, Ben.
Really appreciate the call, Zach. Thanks for listening. Brent in Idaho, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Brent.
All right, Ben. So we have a thriving private lawyer market in America, despite having public defenders available at the taxpayer's expense. So why do you believe a public option will ruin the private health insurance industry instead of behaving similarly to the public defender and private lawyer market?
Okay, so the reason that the private defender versus, you know, public defender model exists is because if you can afford more, you get more, right? I mean, the public defenders are widely acknowledged to not be as good as private lawyers. Now, that's true. One of the problems that you could have pretty easily with regard to a public option is the extent of the public option. So at the beginning, the implication is going to be that a public option covers everything a private option does. Now, there is right now we sort of do have sort of – and it depends on the system. Brent, I mean, like, you kind of have to look at competitive healthcare systems. So there's some healthcare systems where you do have basic emergency care, like Singapore, that's provided by the government, and then you can buy additional insurance on top of that. And those systems continue to exist. They tend to be more successful. It's sort of like Medicare Part D. A lot of seniors participate in Medicare Part D, and they're buying supplemental insurance. A public option, the suspicion is that if there's a public option, and a lot of employers then cast their employees onto the public option because they don't feel like paying for private insurance. They just say, okay, listen, you've got a public option. Now you're being taken care of by the taxpayers. That the government has an incentive to make the public option good in terms of care initially. And then over time, as it sucks up more and more of the private healthcare market, because more and more employers are saying, okay, go to the public health insurance, then they start to lower the reimbursement rates. And that basically means that they initially they pay a lot, maybe even more than doctors. They provide as much care, more than private sector. They provide as much care as the private sector. And then after they drive private insurance out of business, then they lower the amounts that are paid. Now, it's possible that doesn't happen, right? You could theoretically have a baseline public option, but the key is it can't be a comprehensive public option. I guess that's the distinction that I'm making, Brent. You know, again, the reason that works with public defenders is because everybody kind of assumes that public defenders suck more than private defenders. If public defenders were exactly the same quality as private defenders, nobody would use a private defender. You just rely on the public defender.
Do you believe if that were to happen in 50 years or so from the time it started, do you think we'd have the private industry coming back because our public option sucks?
Well, I think that what would probably happen, and this has happened in places like Israel and Canada, is attempts by the government to actually prohibit private industry at that point. And this is a big problem in sort of publicly based healthcare systems is, do you ban private insurance, private supplemental healthcare insurance? You're right. If the public insurance system started to suck, then presumably private insurance would take back over and people would start purchasing it on their own. And that has happened in Canada, but they actually had to have a Supreme Court ruling in Canada that allowed that. So what you usually see very often is defenders of the public system acting like defenders of the public school system in the United States and opposing themselves dramatically to the private education system. You would see that with regard to private health as well, right? Once the public option became the default, people would then say, well, we can't allow people to go buy private insurance because then it will suck money out of the public insurance industry. And we need instead doctors to only take public insurance. Like one of the problems, again, Brent, is that how do you get doctors to accept public insurance? How do you get them to accept that if the reimbursement rates are lower? The answer is you can't. The only way to do that would be to legislate that they accept public insurance or to increase the reimbursement rate such that doctors would be incentivized to do that. And then you run into exactly the competitive situation that I am worried about. Brent, really appreciate the call. We'll get to more of your calls momentarily. First, let us talk about the fact that it's hard to come by sleep these days. I mean, everybody is stressed out. I'm stressed out. You're stressed out. This is why you need a quality mattress. Helix Sleep has built a quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. If you like a mattress that's really soft or firm, if you sleep on your side, your back, your stomach, if you sleep really hot with Helix, there's a specific mattress for each and everybody's unique taste, just like me. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. They will match you to a mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. I love Helix. I'm not the only one. My wife loves Helix, too. We took that two-minute sleep quiz. It is excellent. The Helix Sleep mattress is supremely comfortable. Helix was rated the best mattress of 2019 by GQ and Wired magazine. Everything is made right here in the United States. You've got a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. If you try Helix and you don't like it, they will pick it up for you, no problem. Right now, Helix is offering up to $200 off mattress orders. That is up to $200 off right now at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Again, that is helixsleep.com. .com/Shapiro. Go check them out right now. HelixSleep.com/Shapiro. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to take more of your phone calls at 855-236-3228. Again, that is 855-236-3228. We're going to hang out together because we're all in isolation anyway. So 855-236-3228. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The most dangerous day for a newborn is her first day of life. Every 31 seconds, an infant dies from infections, pneumonia, malnutrition. But she doesn't have to die. For more than 60 years, Project Hope has been saving lives around the world, delivering medicines and supplies, giving newborns a healthy start, making sure her first day of life is not her last, because everyone deserves hope. To volunteer or learn more about Project Hope, visit projecthope.org/newborns.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Hey, have you seen the new cyber threat warning about the conversation
hijacking? Totally. Cyber criminals are using email account takeover and brand impersonation to insert themselves into email conversations and steal money from businesses.
Right. That's why I tell my clients about
Barracuda. Same here. They use artificial intelligence to detect and block sophisticated attacks, including account takeover and brand impersonation.
Man, I guess you did see it.
Don't become a victim. Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're taking your calls at 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. Preston in Frankfort, Kentucky, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Preston.
So with the whole coronavirus, you know, pandemic going on right now, the economy's kind of in the tank. What do you think the outlook for President Trump's reelection is going to be this time November?
It's going to be entirely about how he responds to coronavirus. So let's say there are a couple different scenarios. One is this thing rages out of control. It overtakes our healthcare system. We look like Italy. Italy had 1,000 deaths today. And it looks like the Trump administration blew it. Like, they didn't do the testing in time. Like, that led to this pandemic. Like, they weren't fast enough. And it doesn't matter. Even if he didn't do a bad job, he just gets blamed for it in the same way that President Bush was blamed for Hurricane Katrina, even though overall the government response was actually not bad in Hurricane Katrina. You know, that would be a disaster for him. And the economy continues to tank. You know, we finally come out of it, but in weak ways over the summer. President Trump continues to say silly things on Twitter, and people feel disquieted. They continue to feel fearful. They don't feel optimistic. And Joe Biden is just like a dead person sitting over there, and people are like, okay, well, I guess I'll take the dead guy over this, right? That's worst-case scenario for Trump. Best-case scenario for Trump is we get to early May. The summer starts to wipe out the virus. People start getting back to work. There's tremendous investment back in the economy because, remember, there's no real structural problem with the economy, per se. I mean, the economy was booming a month ago. And people start investing again. People start hiring up again. The American people are like, we need restrictions taken off us, not restrictions put on us, right? We don't want more restrictions. We don't want more government spending. We want to be left the hell alone. You just told us we had to stay in our houses for months at a time. Leave us alone. Now we want to go out and we want to do what we want to do. And we want a president who's not going to be unfriendly to business. And frankly, we think he did a pretty good job. Right now, the polls are showing that Americans think Trump is doing a pretty good job with coronavirus. Let's say that not all that many people die. We can all pray and hope. And that the healthcare systems are not overwhelmed and the federal response is pretty good. I think Trump then wins actually fairly easily. I think at that point, the American people, independents, even some Democrats vote for President Trump. They go, yeah, the guy says crappy things sometimes. I don't like what he says. I don't like his Twitter. But listen, that was the worst crisis that we faced in our lifetimes. He was the president. Things went okay. So I'm not changing horses for the 80-year-old geriatric dotard who can't string a sentence together and seems to be almost literally falling asleep in the middle of his own press conferences. I mean, I think that there is that possibility, too. So all of this depends on coronavirus. It's completely upended the election. It's completely upended everything. Trump's personal unpopularity, there's only one thing that can cure personal unpopularity, and that is basically a giant crisis that creates a rally around the flag effect. You saw this with George W. Bush after 2001, after 9/11. Do I think that will last very long? I don't know, but it doesn't have to last very long for Trump. If this thing ends in the summer and the economy starts to boom again and Trump is out there cheerleading the economy and people start investing again, people get their jobs back, then I think that he's on a fairly solid reelect path. At least right now, I'd say it's 50-50, but who the hell knows which way this thing goes, Preston?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's just too many variables really to take into consideration.
Exactly. So I think we've laid out the formula there, but you know, now we just have to wait for the data to fill in the variables. Joshua in Suffolk, Virginia, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Joshua.
And I was wondering, do you think that the federal or state government should have the authority to implement mandatory closures of private business? And if so, where can we draw the line between what would be an acceptable reason versus not an acceptable reason?
So the government, particularly state and local governments, do have tremendous authority under public health statutes to shut down private businesses in times of crisis, right? Wartime, the government has tremendous leverage as well, obviously. Now, if the authority continues to be used after the threat of the pandemic has been let up, you're going to see an enormous amount of lawsuits. People are just going to start going back to work. Frankly, it's not going to be even enforceable. I mean, you just don't have the number of people in the National Guard or in the police to force people to stay at home. You don't have enough ticket takers to go around to every business in the United States and tell them not to open up their doors. So at a certain point here, if Americans don't feel that the threat is what it was, then people will just go back to work. But as far as kind of constitutional authority, there is tremendous constitutional authority in times of crisis for local and state governments, particularly to take the lead. That's what you're seeing right now. Again, that is not endless. There will come a point where if they're still shutting down church services 3 months from now, then people will start suing and it'll be difficult for the Supreme Court to rule in favor of state and local governments. Joshua, really appreciate the call. John in Nebraska, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, John.
Hey, I just have a couple questions about the American healthcare system.
Sure.
And one question I have is about, you know, your more conservative healthcare system. How would we implement that? Like, what is the quickest way to do that and make it successful?
Sure. So the quickest way, actually, I mean, in terms of what is practical and what would be the quickest way would be for everybody to start buying individual insurance. Instead of buying private insurance through your employer, it wouldn't be employer-based, so it wasn't connected to your employment. You would see the costs and benefits the same way you do with home insurance or auto insurance or life insurance. And then you could calculate that out. You would have people grouped by community. You could join voluntary associations in which people bargain with the insurance companies for particular prices. And you would move to a true, instead of a single-payer system, an actual U-payer system, which I think would be a lot better. It would be a lot more transparent. You demand more transparency from your auto insurance company than you do from your health insurance company. So that would be the easiest way to do it. The truth is that that's never going to happen. Instead, we're going to have to tweak the system, and that means releasing some regulations. It means freeing up people to buy non-comprehensive health insurance, buying catastrophic health insurance if that is what they want. And universal health care would not be a cure for a lot of the things that are going on right now. I mean, Italy has universal health care. Britain has universal health care. There are a lot of universal health care systems that are just – I mean, China has universal health care. You're going to get completely swamped in a pandemic no matter what. So people who are using a pandemic as sort of an excuse to tout universal health care, they've picked a poor example.
Yeah, and my second question is, you know, Bernie Sanders always has this talking point where he's like, oh, America's the only place in the industrialized world that doesn't have universal health care. But why is that? Why is every other country kind of adopted this universal health care way of doing it?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's not true that we don't have we do have a form of universal health care in the sense that we have Medicare, we have Medicaid. That puts the vast majority of people in some sort of situation where they have health care. Beyond that, we have emergency rooms that are mandated by law to take people who walk in. It just may not be the sort of health care that Bernie Sanders likes, but that doesn't mean that we don't have universal health care. Nobody is walking into an ER and actually being turned away for lack of health insurance. That's purely inaccurate. The vast majority of health care in the United States does have some level of government involvement, including even in the private industrial marketplace. John, really appreciate the call. All righty, we'll continue bringing you all of your coronavirus updates. Make sure that you pay attention to all the warnings from the government, guys. Let's get this thing over with. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. President Donald Trump put his signature on a $2.2 trillion economic stimulus package passed by Congress today. The president says that the relief package will help Americans deal with the economic fallout of the pandemic.
This will deliver urgently needed relief to our nation's families, workers, and businesses. And that's what this is all about.
The president thanked members of both parties for putting Americans first. The House passed the legislation earlier Friday by voice vote. The legislation will speed government payments of $1,200 to most Americans and increase jobless benefits for millions of people thrown out of work. Businesses big and small will get loans, grants, and tax breaks. U.S. governors, states are beginning to impose travel restrictions across state boundaries. Correspondent Ben Thomas reports it's aimed at slowing the spread of COVID-19.
Comply with this request for the sake of protecting the most vulnerable among us all.
Governor Charlie Baker is instructing all travelers entering Massachusetts to self-quarantine for 14 days.
Do not travel to our communities, especially if you have symptoms.
In Florida, a similar sentiment from Governor Ron DeSantis.
Don't come here because we're trying to protect our folks.
He says he's been hearing from residents of Florida's panhandle.
There's a fear that as New Orleans becomes more of a hot spot, that you could have an influx of people.
Travelers from Louisiana will be required to self-isolate for 14 days.
We are going to be authorizing the use of checkpoints on the roads.
I'm Ben Thomas.
Nearly 15 years after Hurricane Katrina, New Orleans facing another test of its ability to prepare for potential disaster. The city is one of the nation's hotspots for coronavirus. As of Friday, New Orleans and neighboring Jefferson Parish had recorded more than 80 of the state's 119 COVID-19 deaths and more than 1,700 of the state's 2,700-plus known cases. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Gold. It's soaring. Are you missing it? If you have an IRA or 401k, you probably are. Less than 1% hold physical gold. We've been told by Wall Street it's for crazy people. Really? What's crazy about an asset that beats stocks 2-1? I'm Adam Baratta, national best-selling author of the book Gold is a Better Way, owner of Advantage Gold, an Inc. 5000 member, and highest-rated gold IRA firm in the world. Gold is booming because gold is really about debt, and global debt is a pandemic. If you have an IRA or 401k, I want to give you my book for free. That's right, free. Text GOLD to 49776. That's the word GOLD to 49776. Learn why gold will outperform pumped-up stocks from this point forward. Turn your IRA into a wealth growth machine. Text the word GOLD to 49776. It's time to stop being crazy. Text GOLD to 49776.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has tested positive for the new coronavirus but remains in charge of the UK's response to the outbreak.
Johnson confirmed in a video posted on his social media that he has tested positive for coronavirus. The Prime Minister says he has developed mild symptoms of the virus and will go into self-isolation, but will continue to lead the country. The government said that if Johnson is unable to work, Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab will replace him. Johnson has met in person with some senior ministers and officials this week and has appeared at press conferences alongside his top medical and scientific advisers. Zaria Shakili, London.
With business sinking under coronavirus outbreak restrictions, restaurants are transforming operations and menus to try to stay afloat. For an Italian restaurant in New York City, that meant sending meals out for delivery for the first time. News and analysis at townhall.com. The shortage of hand sanitizer has both medical groups and chemical manufacturers urging the Food and Drug Administration to ease its standards to allow more production. Correspondent Jackie Quinn has more on the story.
It's a hot commodity with the new coronavirus, but hard to find. Ethanol producers in the Midwest say they're ready to switch gears and make hand sanitizer, but their product is below the top pharmaceutical grade required by federal regulators for anything coming in contact with human skin. Also, the alcohol is not denatured, processed to be bitter, so no one drinks it, especially children. The head of the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association says if the FDA would relax its standards during this global health emergency, they could have millions of gallons of hand sanitizer ready in just a matter of days. I'm Jackie Quinn.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
See dealer for details.
Some of the best sounds you'll ever hear are generic, safe, effective, even money-saving, just like FDA-approved generic drugs. Even if they don't come in the exact same color or shape as their brand name equivalent, they have the same key ingredients and go through a rigorous review process. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today and visit fda.gov/generic drugs. Generics are safe, effective, and can save you money. You'll like the sound of that.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, all of the latest updates, the temporary hospital in the Javits Center in New York apparently will be fully open on Monday. So they've radically increased the number of beds in New York City, which is amazing, amazing work. Andrew Cuomo tweeted out, I congratulate FEMA and the Army Corps of Engineers for their work at Javits. I thank the Javits staff. I thank the National Guard. You built a hospital in a week. You are the best of us, which is very good news. And meanwhile, everybody is apparently up in arms over the coronavirus relief package, okay, because this thing was about ready to pass, and then it got held up. And it got held up by Thomas Massie, the Libertarian/Republican representative from Massachusetts. It got held up because he wants a voice vote. So everybody, or he doesn't want a voice vote. He instead wants everybody to basically be counted one by one. According to the New York Times, Representative Massie, Republican of Kentucky, said on Friday in a series of tweets he would insist on a recorded vote of the $2 trillion stimulus package delaying its passage. From Kentucky, not Massachusetts, obviously. Earlier on Friday, President Trump attacked Massie for threatening to hold up passage of the stimulus package, which had been scheduled for a House vote at noon, and that vote did not happen. President Trump attacked Massie, called him a third-rate congressperson. That then prompted that then prompted John Kerry to chime in how much he hated Massie, and so it turned into a love fest. I'm serious. This is the timeline we now occupy. It turned into a love fest between Donald Trump and John Kerry. Trump had tweeted out, Looks like a third-rate grandstander named Thomas Massey, a congressman from, unfortunately, a truly great state, Kentucky, wants to vote against the new Save Our Workers bill in Congress. He just wants the publicity. He can't stop it, only delay, which is both dangerous. Then he continued. Then John Kerry tweeted up,
"Breaking news. Congressman Massey has tested positive for being an a-hole. He must be quarantined to prevent the spread of his massive stupidity. He's given a new meaning to the term, a masshole. Finally, something the president and I can agree on."
And that prompted President Trump to then respond, "Never knew John Kerry had such a good sense of humor. Very impressed." We finally reached bipartisanship, guys. Very, very exciting, exciting stuff. Okay, with that said, Massey was basically forcing everybody to fly back in. Dozens of House members had to rush back to Washington on Friday from every corner of the country to be on hand. Leaders had hoped to pass the bill with a voice vote so that they wouldn't actually have to come back. Technically, the House can't legislate without the presence of a quorum. A quorum will be assured sometime today. So this provided some angst. Other people providing angst, Representative Haley Stevens of Michigan decided to go to the floor of the House and speak on the coronavirus package while wearing gloves and going crazy. It does not give you a lot of faith in our democratic institutions when they are staffed by such people as Haley Stevens. Here is Representative Haley Stevens being a crazy person on the floor of the House.
I request 30 more seconds because I rise before you adorning
these gentlemen from Maryland is recognized.
Not for personal tension, not for personal tension, but to encourage you to take the
I'm
going to
give you more time.
Right now, to the family.
The gentlelady will suspend. The gentleman from Maryland is recognized. The gentlelady is out of order.
I yield the gentlelady 30 additional seconds.
The gentlewoman is recognized for an additional 30 seconds.
The cause of their servitude, sharing in the profession with those who have not come before you. Similar times of trying medical need, wars and flus pass. You will see darkness. You will be pushed. And our society needs you.
What is going on? Okay, so that was actually the second craziest thing that happened on the floor of the House today. That was pretty crazy, though. That was pretty wild. The craziest is reserved for the illustrious AOC. Brilliant. So fresh. So face and fresh. Fresh in face. A person who told us that we were racist for not eating at Chinese restaurants like a week and a half ago. So AOC gets up on the floor of the House and starts yelling and screaming and waving her arms crazily about. I mean, truly, it's wild. She looks like one of those, you know, blow-up balloon things over at the car dealership. That's what she looks like in this clip. It's like she's lost all the bones in her arms, and she's sort of waving her arms around randomly. It's pretty spectacular. Here is AOC protesting a bill that was voted for in the Senate by literally every Democrat, because everybody understands that time is of the essence. Here was AOC being a crazy person.
Senate majority fight for one of the largest corporate bailouts with as few strings as possible in American history. Shameful. The greed of that fight is wrong for crumbs for our families. And the option that we have is to either let them suffer with nothing or to allow this greed and billions of dollars, which will be leveraged into trillions of dollars, to contribute to the largest income inequality gap in our future. There should be shame about what was fought for in this bill and the choices that we have to make.
If you mute that, it looks like she's dancing. Right? If you mute it, it looks like she's dancing, right? She's doing the AOC. Doing the AOC. Yeah, doing the AOC. What the hell is she talking about? The bailouts to corporate. They literally shut down every industry in America. That's not a bailout. That's the government, as I've said 1,000 times, driving a car, a truck, a Ford F-150 through the front wall of your house. And then when they say, oh, yeah, we probably should pay to fix up the walls, like, how dare you consider bailouts, sir? But she's a crazy person. This is who you chose. You chose this person as your leadership, Democrats. You decided that AOC was going to dictate the future of your party. According to Tom Perez, she's the future of your party. This crazy person who doesn't know whether she's dancing or giving a speech in Congress about the single biggest spending bill in the history of the United States. By the way, like, who do you think is more pro-bailout, AOC or me? Okay, significantly AOC. She wants to bail out every useless green industry she can possibly find. She wants money for people who are unwilling to work. And here she is protesting the spending because it has a corporation. Corporations. They're evil. Evil. By the way, I'm just wondering what Nancy Pelosi is going to do with AOC now. Because Nancy Pelosi has also been saying that she wants to spend more money. Right? We're just going to spend endlessly here. We're not going to try and fix the problems. We're not going to try and just get us through this period. Instead, Nancy Pelosi says we have to spend more money. Here's Nancy Pelosi yesterday saying, we need a second round. Guys, we're spending $6 trillion, with a T, trillion dollars. And here's Nancy Pelosi saying that's not enough.
We had bigger direct payments in our bill. I don't think we've seen the end of direct payments. This is an emergency, a challenge to the conscience as well as the budget of our country. And every dollar that we spend is an investment in the lives and the livelihood of the American people. We can go bigger, especially now the interest rates are even lower than at the time of the tax scam.
Okay, so we need more spending, lots of spending, endless spending, quantitative easing forever, Federal Reserve buying up everything. We need all of that stuff forever, forever. Okay, this is the same Nancy Pelosi, by the way. She's now declaring the bill insufficient. The Democrats negotiated this bill. Pelosi then claims that she had greatly made the bill better, which she, of course, is not. By the way, this thing should have been passed, like, on Sunday, right? We've gone a full week without passage of this bill that was already pre-negotiated last Saturday. It's now Friday. Okay, here is Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, saying that Nancy Pelosi is lying about a bill that was negotiated by her fellow Democrats.
A few minutes ago, the Speaker stood at this podium and claimed that House Democrats did what she called a jiu-jitsu to change the bill. That is an outright lie. The fundamental portions of this bill has not changed since Sunday. 4 months for unemployment was already decided on Sunday. The grant to keep employees hired on small business was already decided on Sunday. The only few additions were funding of things that had nothing to do with the coronavirus. Was that worth holding it up?
Okay, by the way, the bill did pass by unanimous consent despite all of the hysterics on the floor today. I mean, this is pretty not shocking. I mean, it was going to get done, but the fact that everybody made a big deal out of it is pretty incredible. So we spent the week for no reason thanks to Nancy Pelosi's hysterics and because she listens to idiots like AOC and lets them dictate the nature of business in the House. What a disaster Nancy Pelosi has been. So what exactly is in the bill? The Wall Street Journal has a pretty good rundown. They answer some questions on how to apply for the unemployment benefits and how the law changes who is eligible. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, look, the coronavirus has everybody concerned, if not frightened. But now is a good time for you to find a sense of community and for you to help out your fellow community members. That's why I'm partnering with FreedomWorks to promote our Love America Pledge, our hashtag Love America Pledge. We're encouraging you to do simple but meaningful things to unite the country. Like take some time out of your day to call your friends and family members to make sure everybody's doing okay. Donate some canned goods to your local food bank. Purchase a gift card from a local business near you. Commit to social distancing. If you're interested in being a leader in your community, coordinate with my friends over at FreedomWorks by texting my name, Ben, to 41490. That is my name, Ben, to 41490. Take that hashtag Love America Pledge today. One of the reasons everybody feels disquieted right now is because there's so much bad information out there. Everybody's sort of relying on the government to help everybody out and save us all. But the reality is there's a lot we can do for each other, even in a time of crisis like this, maybe especially in a time of crisis like this. Coordinate with my friends over at FreedomWorks who are working to fight back against socialism and keep community alive. Text Ben to 41490 and join the hashtag Love America Pledge today. Text my name, Ben, to 41490 and help out my friends over at FreedomWorks in the process. So what exactly is in this bill with regard to unemployment insurance? According to the Wall Street Journal, Americans generally are eligible for benefits if they're laid off from their jobs. Several states have already adjusted eligibility requirements because of coronavirus. So states expanded eligibility to include workers who don't have access to paid leave or who may not meet any requirements of being available to work, like people who are quarantined. The stimulus bill expands eligibility to include people who are not typically eligible for benefits. That includes self-employed people, people seeking part-time employment, and independent contractors as well. People who are diagnosed with coronavirus, have a household member with coronavirus who are unable to go to work, would be eligible. So would individuals who had quit their jobs or are laid off because of coronavirus. You're not eligible if you're currently receiving paid sick leave or other paid leave benefits. The way to apply, you can apply for unemployment insurance based on your state's website or over the phone. People are asking that people do this. The states are asking you to do this online because of the overwhelm. Unemployment benefits do vary by state. The new stimulus bill would increase unemployment assistance in every state by $600 a week for up to 4 months. Now, this is an area of contention because, of course, if this thing lasts 3 months and you're being paid more to stay out of work than to be in work, that is a problem. In New York State, the state's maximum weekly benefit check is about $500. That would increase to $1,100 a week if the new legislation passes, which it did, of course, today, extended use of unemployment benefits would put a lot more money in people's pockets than the stimulus bills, one-time checks of up to $1,200. So because this now extends to people who have quit, you should expect to see the unemployment rolls really swell and surge. It's one of the reasons why the phase-out of unemployment is going to be really important on the other end. It's why there were several senators who were very much concerned about the unemployment provisions and how long they last and the extent of them, right? You saw Bernie Sanders protesting that. Why can't we just pay people? Just give people lots of money. Because on the other end of this, we want people to rejoin the workforce. We don't actually want to incentivize people not to be in the workforce. Now, many unemployment insurance offices are seeing unprecedented volume. That is delaying the process. Several states have waived a routine one-week waiting period. So that means that it could be 2 to 3 weeks for people to actually receive their unemployment check. So if you were laid off on March 23rd, you might at the earliest receive your first unemployment check on April 10th under both current and former rules. That is one of the problems with that lengthened period because, again, if your first check is April 10th, let's say this thing ends June 10th. That's only 2 months past your first check, right? And those are the earliest checks that are going to go out. One of the reasons why, theoretically, you're not supposed to do policy with a hammer rather than with a scalpel. But we have done it with a hammer, and we're going to do the hammer because it is vital at this point to get people the help they need, even if that means overspending on the other end. So this is why, you know, you hear people like Massey who are upset, or you see people who are upset about like AOC who are upset. And the answer is no one likes this bill, right? No, people on the left don't like this bill. People on the right don't like this bill. Something has to happen here or the entire economy is going to collapse because we've seen 3 million unemployed people added to the rolls this week alone. All righty, coming up, we're going to get to China because we've been told that China has somehow fixed all of this, right? China is in great shape. There's only one problem. China is not in great shape, and they have been lying about all of this, and we have some new evidence that China has been lying about all of this. We'll get to that momentarily. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Hey, cyber criminals stole the W-2 forms from my friend's company.
Yeah, scammers impersonate CEOs in email and also launch attacks from compromised accounts.
What if they target us?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda Total Email Protection.
So we're secured?
Yes. Barracuda protects businesses of all sizes with artificial intelligence that blocks spear phishing, account takeover attempts, and business email compromise.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Tim Carney, resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, where he works on economic competition, cronyism, civil society, localism, and religion in America. His latest book is The Fantastic Alienated America, Why Some Places Thrive While Others Collapse. Tim, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So why don't we begin with a column that you wrote a little bit earlier this week about the differences in considering how we ought to respond to this crisis and the amount of death attendant on it with regard to, you know, other public policy issues. So President Trump had referenced the fact in one of his press conferences earlier this week that, you know, we are constantly in public policy balancing the risks to human life with economic gains and quality of life. We do it with automobile accidents. No one suggests that we don't drive, even though autos kill a lot of people. And on a sort of generic analogical level, that's true, obviously. All public policy is done on the basis of weighing costs and benefits and risks and rewards. You suggest that the auto analogy is a bad analogy, though. Why do you think the coronavirus should be treated differently?
Well, to be more precise, it's not that it's a bad analogy. It's that it's a good analogy because it shows us the differences, and those differences show us, as you said, why we should treat this differently. First of all, when President Trump referred to car deaths being far greater in number than coronavirus deaths, that was just about the day that the number of daily deaths on our highways, which is 100, was just about the day that coronavirus deaths went past 100. And now in the U.S., we're at about 250. And if the doubling continues, it'll be pretty soon pretty high. So just that sort of mathematical fact of, well, this is different because we're now losing more people per day to coronavirus than we have been to auto accidents. But I made a couple other points that were sort of more, I don't know, I don't want to say philosophical, but to some extent psychological. There are certain things that affect society more, even if they cause the same number of deaths. And September 11th is obviously one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to think we overreacted to September 11th with the Patriot Act, with the wars that was with the Iraq war, et cetera. But on the other hand, we did need to react to that in a way far, far bigger than we would normally react to an event with 3,000 deaths, which is, you know, heart disease in a single day. So just because we don't just sort of count deaths here. We're not a Russian army general. There are certain ways of dying. There are certain threats that weigh on society more, and particularly in this one, we have to stay away from each other. Even aside from all the social distancing rules handed down by a governor, if my kid gets sick, I won't be able to be there with him. I mean, to my wife, that's the single most terrifying thing about this, is that the contagion of it means we have to treat other people as possible threats, when really what we ought to be doing is being able to treat other people as assets, friends, and neighbors. But a contagious disease is that much more divisive.
So, Tim, on another subject, you've obviously written extensively on crony capitalism and the government involvement with business. What do you make of the quote-unquote stimulus? It really is more of a relief package that Congress just passed, yeah, the single largest spending bill in the history of the world, $2 trillion. I've said that, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a libertarian or a conservative. There's a difference between the government forcibly shutting down every business in America and then providing relief to those businesses and it's bailing out companies that made bad decisions, a la 2007, 2008. This is the government drove a Ford F-150 through your front wall, like of your house, and now is attempting to at least build back the wall. I think the bill is filled with crap. It doesn't look like a good bill to me, but it seems like something had to be done, or we're looking at the incipient collapse of the entire American economy.
I think you're right about I like the Ford F-150 analogy, and you're right that it's going to be full of crap. A bill this big will have tons of corporate welfare, tons of cronyism, tons of giveaways to insiders, all of that stuff, which an upside for me is it'll be more columns for me to write. A downside is it will erode some of the trust in the government and it will waste a lot of money. All that said, this was necessary, and it was different from a stimulus bill. It was different from a regular bailout. The Wall Street bailout was about all of the financial sector collapsing because of, you know, everybody kind of got on groupthink, something not unexpected, but happened in an unexpectedly large way. Basically, businesses had failed, and the decision was made that if we let them just collapse, that other people will be hurt too. So we went ahead and saved those businesses. Here, businesses are failing largely because of government action or societal action to say, actually, no, you can't go to your Chinese restaurant. Well, at that point, if the government is telling me I can't go to the Chinese restaurant, there's something to be said for the government making it up to the owners of the Chinese restaurant and to the employees of the Chinese restaurant who are not getting checks. So in that regard, I described it as reparations or restitution. I think it makes it different. That said, we do need to watch how this money is spent because it will be wasted, it will be stolen, and we have to try to minimize it and shame the people who try to exploit it.
I mean, I do wonder, Tim, I had proposed that maybe the best solution here would have been to have the Federal Reserve basically back the bank loans that are already in existence. Just tell the banks, don't call in your loans right now, back the commercial paper market. You know, allow the people who are best at risk assessment to assess the risk and then just back all of that and provide unemployment insurance on the other end for people who aren't going to maintain their jobs. Having the government picking and choosing among firms to be the direct lender seems a lot more risky to me than that.
There's a lot of that. And then there are the special earmark sections, the $17 billion, basically for Boeing, which was failing for reasons that had nothing to do, which was suffering for reasons that had nothing to do with coronavirus. But there's also something to be said. The unemployment insurance expansion is probably a good thing as long as it's temporary. And there's some worries that it might be hard to dial back this expansion.
Well, Tim Carney, resident fellow at American Enterprise Institute. Go check out his book, Alienated America, Why Some Places Thrive While Others Collapse. Tim, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk about how exactly the federal government is dealing with all of this. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commerce Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
690286.
This Girl Scout cookie season, we Girl Scouts would like to say thank you, America.
Thank you, cookie cravers, Thin Mint enthusiasts,
peanut butter patrons,
shortbread devotees.
Every time you take a bite of a Girl Scout cookie, it's good for us.
Your coconut and caramel cravings are our chance to practice goal setting.
Your midnight snacks help us learn to manage money.
Your freezers aren't just full of tasty treats.
They're packed with entrepreneurship.
That's right, entrepreneurship.
You probably can't taste the business ethic or the decision-making or the people skills, but they're in there.
In every single mouthful.
Every time you eat what's in the box, we learn how to think outside of it.
So raise a glass of milk and raise our chances to reach our potential.
Eat up, America. We're counting on you.
I'm Catalina.
I'm Melody.
I'm Katie.
I'm Devin.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Addie.
I'm Juliana.
I'm Nicole.
I'm Olivia.
I'm Colette.
I'm Stefania.
And we approve this message.
The Girl Scout Cookie Program. Think outside the box.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, while everybody is apparently focused in on the United States being the top coronavirus nation because we have the most diagnosed cases, Hillary Clinton, by the way, is just a bag of garbage. She's just the worst. So she tweeted out a New York Times article. The New York Times article says the U.S. now leads the world in confirmed coronavirus cases. And Hillary Clinton, being not a good person, tweeted out, he did promise America first. Wow, dunking on America to own the Trump. Well, you really owned the orange man that time, Hillary, by dunking on Americans who have coronavirus. Just wow. Windmill jam on Americans who have coronavirus. What a solid person she is. What a decent, nice person she is. Here's the truth. We don't know whether, in fact, we have the most cases. In all likelihood, we do not. The reason I say that, of course, is because China probably has lots and lots and lots of cases that they've not talked about. According to Deadline Hollywood, China is reshuttering all of its cinemas nationwide as it continues to battle coronavirus, according to Deadline Hollywood sources. The country's National Film Bureau contacted all exhibitors today, saying that venues must be closed again, no immediate time frame for reopening. The news has begun to spread across popular social media service Weibo. This weekend, a ray of light seemed to be shining from the Middle Kingdom when more than 500 cinemas reopened their doors to the public after being closed since late January. No one actually went to the theater, though. That represented only 4.5% of the country's cinema real estate did not include its major chains. There's optimism that was the first wave, and soon China would be back to normal. Fail. The city of Shanghai was set to reopen a further 205 cinemas on Saturday, but China shut down all of them. All of them. There's been a spike in imported cases. Some 53 were reported yesterday as having come from overseas. But again, all of this is assuming that the Chinese government is not lying to us, which, of course, is a hell of an assumption, considering they lied in the first place about coronavirus and its transmissibility. They lied to the WHO. They allowed 5 million citizens from Wuhan to travel the globe. So I'm not sure why we should believe them. They banned all foreign media. Not really sure why we should believe what they have to say at this point. Seems weird that we would, to be honest. Meanwhile, President Xi Jinping was on a call with President Trump, He called on President Trump to, quote-unquote, take substantive actions to improve U.S.-China relations, to develop a relationship that is without conflict and confrontation, but based on mutual respect and mutually beneficial cooperation. Okay, I have a couple of steps that China could take. One, they could shove it. They are the ones at fault. Okay, so we could start with, how about shut down your wet markets? How about that? You're a communist authoritarian regime. You're welding people in their homes. It feels like you should be able to stop people from eating the frickin' bats. It feels like that. Is that too much to ask? And also, if you're going to let people eat the frickin' bats, how about you don't let them then wander the earth? How about that? But Xi said, working together brings both side benefits. Fighting hurts both. Cooperation is the only choice. Oh, weird that you're interested in cooperation now. Not while you're busy unleashing this virus on an unsuspecting humanity. Now you're interested in cooperation because you don't want people importing the virus back into your country. President Trump then tweeted out, just finished a very good conversation with President Xi, discussed in great detail the coronavirus that is ravaging large parts of our planet. China has been through much and has developed a strong understanding of the virus. We are working closely together. Much respect. And I now have whiplash. I now have actual physical whiplash. 5 seconds ago, the president was correctly talking about how this was the Wuhan virus. And now it's, we're working together. Everything is fantastic. So, got to admit, a little bit confused. Hey, with all of that said, President Trump remains focused on opening up the economy. That can't happen until we make sure that we have enough resources on hand to deal with any pandemic overload. New York has done a good job of turning the Javits Center into a functional hospital, like pretty much overnight. Dr. Deborah Birx, who is leading up the coronavirus response on behalf of the White House, she says, for all the talk about shortages, the shortages are not happening right now. And this is worth noting, right? I mean, we are now Friday evening. And, you know, for all of the talk of hospitals being completely overwhelmed, we had heard that was going to happen by Tuesday. Then we heard it was going to happen by Friday. Maybe it's happening. But we are not seeing the sort of Italian overload that has led to in excess of 8,000 deaths in Italy alone with far fewer cases. Here's Dr. Birx saying, no, we don't actually have shortages right now. We're don't have shortages right now.
Please, for the reassurance of people around the world, to wake up this morning and look at people talking about creating DNR situations, do not resuscitate situations for patients. There is no situation in the United States right now that warrants that kind of discussion. You can be thinking about it in a hospital. Certainly many hospitals talk about this on a daily basis. But to say that to the American people, to make the implication that when they need a hospital bed, it's not going to be there, or when they need that ventilator, it's not going to be there. We don't have an evidence of that right now.
Okay, so Dr. Birx, for saying this, was ripped up and down because she was pointing out the media have been pushing the most extreme versions of the pandemic curves, right, that 80% of the population would get it, that hundreds of thousands dead and all of this. So Mika Brzezinski on MSNBC, she actually asked Dr. Birx if she was being bullied by President Trump to say these sorts of things and to be nice to President Trump. Here's Mika Brzezinski to Birx.
Explain to me, Dr. Birx, if I may, because I'm very concerned at the pressure top scientists at the White House are being put under by President Trump. I want to understand why Bellevue Hospital has a makeshift morgue, why the New York Times was able to get a video out of an ER of patient after patient after patient just lying there dying with COVID-19. The front lines are telling a very different story, and I really hope the scientists at the top don't get bullied by the president because we need you.
Okay, honestly, that's such a ridiculous take. Bill de Blasio is saying the same thing. So is Andrew Cuomo. Right, Andrew Cuomo said literally yesterday they have enough PPEs in New York right now. Bill de Blasio said the same thing this morning. So why is it that Birx, again, it's just orange man bad. You don't like what Birx is saying, so it must be because you think President Trump is standing over Birx and telling her, you have to lie. Go lie. Go say everything's great. You think Birx is going to go along with that? She's a public health professional. She's been doing this longer than Trump's been in office for a while. And you think Fauci is going to be bullied by Trump? These people are saving lives. They're trying to give you information you need. So all of this is over-the-top coverage by the media, but that is not a particular shock. This is, unfortunately, what too many members of the media do. Now, speaking of what comes next, it's kind of fascinating to watch as members of the government, as this thing rolls forward, are now beginning to suggest, even while suggesting that, you know, things could change, we could be overwhelmed, members of the government who the media have declared trustworthy are already beginning to suggest that maybe we have to, you know, really rethink exactly how we approach the shutdown, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, who's been highly touted, right? I mean, this guy is getting glowing media coverage beginning to end. Andrew Cuomo yesterday said, maybe we shouldn't have done a total shutdown in the first place. Like, maybe we should have kept people in school, for example.
What we did was we closed everything down. That was our public health strategy. Just close everything. All businesses, all workers, young people, old people, short people, tall people, every school, close everything. If you rethought that or had time to analyze that public health strategy, I don't know that you would say quarantine everyone. I don't even know that that was the best public health policy.
Okay, so I mean, there's Cuomo basically acknowledging that, you know, maybe we overreacted to this with the total lockdown. That suggests that Cuomo would like to get people back to work, right? Cuomo says the same thing again. He said, listen, maybe we're going to get to the point where some people can go back to work. That would be a good thing. Right? So while you're hearing a lot of doom and gloom out there right now, while you're hearing a lot of everything's about to become Italy, let's just wait. Okay, let's wait on the data because we're going to know. That doesn't mean wait to act and get the ventilators and get the bed set up. It means right now the sort of crisis mentality that is set in the media that hundreds of thousands of people are going to die, that is thus far unsupported by the evidence. I mean, utterly unsupported by the evidence. Hundreds of thousands of people are not dead in Italy. Hundreds of thousands of people are not dead in China. And so if you believe that this is going to happen in the United States, you're going to have to explain why. Here's Andrew Cuomo saying, like, look, we are going to have to start thinking about some people going back to work. I'm quoting Cuomo here because the media like Cuomo. And he's saying the same sort of stuff as Trump. But it's okay when Cuomo says it and bad when Trump does, apparently.
How do you modify the public health strategy to make it smarter from a public health point of view, but also starts to get you back to work? Younger people can go back to work. People who have resolved can go back to work. People who, once we get this antibody test, show that they had the virus and they resolved, can go back to work. That's how I think you do it. It's not we're going to either do public health or we're going to do economic development restarting. We have to do both.
Now, President Trump is saying exactly the same sort of stuff, and then people are calling him insensitive. President Trump actually put out a letter to various governors across the country, and he said, we're going to start classifying areas by sort of hot zones and not hot zones, which makes perfect sense. It also suggests that there may be some local travel restrictions in place in the fairly near future. Those already exist for New York, by the way. You leave New York, you go to a different state, you're supposed to self-quarantine. Okay, but Trump mentions opening up the economy. It's the end of the world. Here is President Trump talking about opening up parts of the country. And he's not wrong, but the media went nuts on him anyway, even though he's saying the same sort of stuff that Cuomo's saying.
The end result is we got to get back to work, and I think we can start by opening up certain parts of the country, you know, Farm Belt, certain parts of the Midwest, other places. But I think that, as an example, you go to Texas. There are places in Texas, great governor, Greg Abbott. There are places in Texas where, you know, this is a tremendously big state that aren't impacted by this. So I think we can open up sections, quadrants, and then just keep them going until the whole country is opened up. But we have to open up. The people want to get back to work. They want to get back.
I mean, Trump is saying the same sort of stuff that Cuomo's saying, except that Trump is Trump and Cuomo's Cuomo. So the media like Cuomo, they don't like Trump. But let's stop pretending that Trump is saying anything out of the box here. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, let's talk about the fact that when you do emerge from this dark period, you're going to want to be able to smile with all of those beautifully straightened teeth. But your teeth, unfortunately, are not straight. And you got to be at home right now. I have a solution for you. I'm talking about Candid. You don't have to go into an orthodontist. You can do it all from home. Unlike braces, Candid's clear aligners are comfortable, removable, totally invisible. You never have to set foot in a doctor's office or a waiting room because Candid will deliver clear aligners directly to your door. With other remote clear aligner options, you may never hear from a doctor. Candid only works with licensed orthodontists, that is, experts in tooth movement, never general dentists. And again, you don't have to leave your house. You get the same treatment oversight you get by seeing an orthodontist in person without those office visits that you probably can't even do right now anyway. You might be feeling nervous about a wedding or a graduation coming up. With Candid, the average treatment length is just 6 months. You'll start seeing results well before then. For a limited time, get started with $75 off by using code Ben at CandidCo.com/Ben again. That is CandidCo.com/Ben. Use code Ben for $75 off. CandidCo.com/Ben. Use code Ben for $75 off. CandidCo.com/Ben. All right. By the way, now President Trump also has been saying that even when the restraints come off, we're still going to have to do some social distancing. The media keeps suggesting that Trump is like encouraging people to go and just randomly hug people in the streets and swap spit with them. That is not true. Here is Trump yesterday saying we got to keep the social distancing going.
much of the guidelines, like shaking hands, maybe people aren't going to be shaking hands anymore. You know, Tony had mentioned to me, Tony Fauci, the other day that I don't think he would be too upset with the concept of not shaking hands. He was saying that the flu would cut down, the regular flu would be cut down by quite a bit if we didn't do that, if we didn't shake hands. You know, the regular flu, of which, you know, you have a lot of deaths and a lot of problems with that, too. When we're open, as soon as we open, that doesn't mean you're going to stop with the guidelines. You'll still try and distance yourself, maybe not to the same extent because you have to lead a life.
Yeah, he's correct about this, right? I mean, the fact is that Trump, again, saying the same stuff as Cuomo, getting criticized for it. By the way, in terms of, like, good news, the reality is that the mortality rates that we are seeing being reported are not close to the reality of the mortality rates. The reason we know this is because every death is being reported, but not every case is being reported. Dr. Fauci said yesterday, we don't even know how many asymptomatic cases there are, which should at least quiet the mind a little bit about, let's say you are diagnosed with coronavirus, the chances that you are going to die from it are still extremely low, like a lot lower than the 1.3-1.4% mortality rate that you're seeing. Do we have that clip of Dr. Fauci talking about asymptomatic cases?
We do know a lot more now than we did a couple of weeks ago, but the one thing that's still a little bit of a black box, and that's the thing that influences the modeling that we do, is that what is the relative percentage of really asymptomatic infection? Because that influences everything. That influences transmission, that influences contact tracing, and that certainly influences the dynamica of the models that you use. So if you're going to model how you do things, you really have to have the data of know what you're dealing with.
Okay, so again, that should actually be some good news for people. I've been saying it all week long. The data continue to show that the actual mortality rate from COVID-19 are not close to the original mortality rates being reported. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't have a lot of cases. We'll have a lot of cases. It doesn't mean we don't need the ventilators. We do need the ventilators. It does mean that we should be a little bit more quiet in our mind about the actual data than the media seems to be suggesting. Already coming up, we're going to talk about what the Federal Reserve is doing to shore up the economy. We've talked a lot about Congress and what they are doing. The Federal Reserve is actually doing a lot more. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long, and help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are a few of the things many of us take for granted. Yet, for many United States military veterans, finding and affording oral health care is a challenge many of us don't think about. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to see one veteran with special needs one time per year. Visit willyouseeonevet.org to learn more. That's willyouseeonevet.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Amidst all of the attention paid to this passage of this $2 trillion bill, it is, I will say, pretty astonishing that everybody is forgetting that the Federal Reserve is spending like $4 trillion to shore up commercial paper markets, to buy up all the debt that is on the market. They're now looking at picking up mortgage debt. It does raise the question as to whether the Federal Reserve is going to run out of bullets, because at a certain point, you can only float so much debt. We have seen bond yields continuing to rise, which means that actually demand is dropping. When the entire world economy is in the midst of a depression, does anyone actually have the money to buy up anybody else's debt? That's a serious question. Jerome Powell is the head of the Federal Reserve. He did say today, we're not going to run out of bullets. We do have more bullets in the chamber. It's hard to see exactly how that is the case, but sure, I hope.
When it comes to this lending, we're not going to run out of ammunition. That doesn't happen. You know, we set the interest rates in time at what we think is the right, giving the economy the right level of support. If we'd raised interest rates more, it would have been higher than we thought, and economic growth would have been a little bit slower, so it wouldn't have mattered in the end. So we really are always setting our interest rates at the level we think is appropriate, and we've cut them to zero now. We still have room to policy room in other dimensions to support the economy.
Okay, so the question is how true that is, or whether there needs to just be an underlying recovery at this point. Like, the Federal Reserve is supposed to be a stopgap. You can't use the stopgap forever. So how exactly does all of this work? According to the New York Times, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says, with the Federal Reserve's help, the government will turn a $500 billion spending package working its way through Congress into a $4 trillion booster shot for the economy. So how does this work? The answer lies in the central bank's emergency lending authorities given it by the Federal Reserve Act. When the Fed declares that circumstances are unusual and exigent, and Treasury signs off, it can set up special programs that essentially buy debt from or extend loans to businesses large and small. The Fed could simply print the money to back that lending, but it avoids taking on credit risk, so it asks Treasury funding to insure against the losses. But those taxpayer dollars can actually be leveraged. Because the Fed expects most borrowers to pay back, it doesn't need one-for-one support. As a result, a mere $10 billion from Treasury can prop up $100 billion in Fed lending. Because, again, most of those loans are going to be paid back. Voila, the $454 billion Congress dedicated to Fed programs in the aid bill can be multiplied many times. So here's how the mechanics work, according to the New York Times. Congress allotted at least $454 billion to the Treasury specifically to support Fed programs. It attached a few strings. Companies that get direct loans backed by Treasury funding could be prevented from paying dividends or buying back shares. Mnuchin is required to push the Fed to set up specific programs, including one that would help medium-sized businesses. The Treasury and the Fed will then work together to decide how that $454 billion should be deployed. The central bank designs and runs the programs. Treasury consults on the broad brush outline and must sign off on any plan. The Fed has already announced a number of emergency lending programs in recent weeks, including one that supports corporate debt issuers, another meant to keep money flowing in the market for short-term business loans. And then they say they're going to set up a Main Street lending facility for small businesses, although we don't exactly know what that means yet. The Fed is also indirectly helping the market for local debt through one facility. Some economists speculate they could actually start buying state and local bonds in an emergency measure, so they'll just start basically floating loans to state and local governments. The legislation instructs Mnuchin to push for a program that supports state and local borrowing. The Treasury fund used to back up those efforts contains $94 billion. So the congressionally approved money would pave the way for serious scaling up. Depending on how much money is leveraged, which in turn depends on the credit risk of the program it supports, this could result in trillions of temporary support for companies and local governments. So basically, the Treasury lends money to the Fed. The Fed then multiplies that amount of money by giving out loans and then doesn't call in the loans for quite a while. I mean, just like the bank doesn't hold all of its money in a back vault somewhere. It takes out all the money you put in the bank ends up being lent out to other people. And they keep a very small percentage in case some people want their money back at a certain time. But most of the money that comes in is also lent out. This is called leveraging, right? And this is happening by the Fed right now. When it makes a loan, the Fed temporarily sends fresh dollars into the financial system, but the loan has to be paid back with interest, which does suck the funds back out. When the Fed buys bonds using its emergency powers, it takes an asset out of the system in exchange for central bank cash. When it comes due, cash essentially has to be taken out of the private banking system and given back to the Fed, says Matthew Luzzetti, the chief economist at Deutsche Bank. The Fed swelled its asset holdings significantly during and after the 2008 financial crisis and then struggled to shrink them again. There were a lot of outstanding reserve central bank deposits that it had used to buy bonds that were permanently higher. So the Fed is legally prohibited from lending to bankrupt companies, and it can't lend really to risky businesses. And that is why now the Treasury is basically allowing broader outlines for giving those losses. If the Fed takes on a risk, but Treasury backs at least the first round of losses, it means the elected government is agreeing to the plan, which allows some sort of accountability. So is that a bailout? No, not really a bailout, because again, this is forcibly shutting down businesses all across the country. So that is where things stand right now, and it is important to recognize that the Fed is doing a lot of heavy lifting. We are taking out enormous amounts of loans that we are eventually going to have to repay. As far as the prospects for the U.S. economy, the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas President Robert Kaplan says the economy's recovery could take some time. Speaking in an interview on Bloomberg TV, Kaplan says that U.S. GDP could shrink by about 20% in the second quarter on an annualized basis, which is the largest shrinkage in the history of the United States. He says we're going to climb out of this. It's just a question of how fast we do it, from walking to running to sprinting. We're trying to come to grips with all of that. Kaplan says that he doesn't think that we're going to end up with 30% unemployment. He says that probably by the end of the year will be maybe 7 or 8% unemployment, and hopefully we will be recovering by then. Well, we hope and pray that he's right, obviously. That's going to require that everybody go back to work sooner rather than later, which, of course, is exactly where the focus is and where it should be. Let's get this thing tamped down, and let's all get back to our day jobs. All righty, well, have yourself a wonderful weekend. Keep yourself safe in there. Go for a little walk if you can. And make sure that you're here next Monday. We'll update you on all the latest. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. A $2.2 trillion economic stimulus package has become law now that it's passed the House and was signed into law by President Donald Trump. House leaders from both parties spoke about the need for bipartisan cooperation. Bob Agnew reports from Capitol Hill.
Speaker Pelosi said cooperation would send an important and timely message to the American people.
That whatever concerns we may have and whatever we want to do next, right now, we're going to pass this legislation.
With millions unemployed, Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said lawmakers needed to ask themselves just one question.
So what can we do for the hardworking taxpayers, their families, and small businesses, the pillars of the American life?
The $2.2 trillion bill also focused on assisting the health care system and its providers. Bob Agnew, Capitol Hill.
President Trump defending the federal government's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. White House correspondent Greg Clugston has more.
The president says most governors have been gracious in their dealings with his administration during the crisis, but he singled out complaints from the governors of Washington and Michigan. He said they need to be more appreciative.
We have done a job the likes of which nobody's seen.
Mr. Trump announced more action to help states, directing GM to produce ventilators and authorizing the Pentagon to call up reservists to help with the coronavirus response. Greg Clugston, Washington.
President Trump issuing an order that seeks to force General Motors to produce ventilators for coronavirus patients under the Defense Production Act. The final pitch of the 2020 baseball season, well, it could be thrown closer to Christmas than Halloween. Major League Baseball owners ratified a 17-page agreement with the union on that provides for $170 million in salary advances and guarantees service time to players even if no games are played due to the new coronavirus. More on these stories at townhall.com.
relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
He learned to pitch in your backyard. Now his team's coming over to celebrate their high school championship. So you need to patch those bare spots fast. Pennington One Step Complete has a revolutionary formula that repairs bare spots in only 2 weeks or less. Pennington's been trusted since 1945, and now it works even faster. One Step Complete from Pennington. Honest green. Get your lawn ready for any occasion. Head to your local retailer to pick up One Step Complete.
Officials say Spain has seen a sharp rise in the number of deaths caused by coronavirus, but the rate of new infections is stabilizing.
The latest coronavirus medical figures offered mixed news for Spain. The rate of new infections does appear to be easing off, and the government has said it believes the virus's upward curve is showing signs of flattening out. Spain's healthcare system is at full stretch in many parts of the country and is struggling to acquire sufficient medical equipment. Yesterday, the government said it had returned a batch of 9,000 coronavirus test kits produced by a Chinese company after they had proved to be faulty. The country has been in a state of emergency and in lockdown for 2 weeks, and the government is extending that measure until mid-April.
That is BBC correspondent Guy Hedgeco reporting from Madrid. Spain's been one of two European countries at the center of the coronavirus. News and analysis at townhall.com. Shining a bright light on the coronavirus crisis, volunteers are delivering food to senior citizens who live alone. Here's correspondent Shelley Adler.
We have your grocery delivery.
One of the volunteers is Jessica Santu, who's with the We Are Family Senior Outreach Network in Washington.
When you get really on one-on-one, people are really scared, you know? But I think also a lot of people are just really resilient. Like if something, they're just like, hey, this is happening. We can't let it bring us down.
Mark Anderson is the co-executive director of the network.
We have to be there for the seniors who, quite frankly, are the ones who built the community that we reside in.
Almost one in three older adults in the U.S. live alone, and many have chronic health problems. I'm Shelley Adler.
We Are a Family in D.C. provides isolated inner-city seniors with free services, advocacy, and companionship. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
We are working for every American in this country, and we want them to know that help is on the way. Sadly, though, there are some individuals in Congress who, even in the midst of a pandemic, think this is a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit their own vision.
Wait just a minute. There's a pandemic on top of everything else that's going on? There are pandas in every tree. There was a panda in a car next to me driving into work this morning. I saw a panda at Trader Vic's. His hair was perfect. A pandemic? Oh, no. Let's go live to the panda cam. Oh, they're looting. They're rioting the pandas. It's pandemonium.
Sadly, though, there are some individuals in Congress who, even in the midst of a pandemic.
Oh, no. This is going to be worse than I thought. Well, happy Friday to you and welcome. Now's, of course, Republican House Leader Kevin McCarthy doing his best Norm Crosby impression. Hunts Hall, butcher of the English language, Kevin McCarthy, pretty amazing stuff. But he did, I've got to say, he did give, he gave Pelosi a bunch of what for yesterday, big time, and he called her out, as she should be called out every day. He did, and I'll give him credit for that, even though he thinks that there's a pandemic and Minsk.
Even in the midst of a pandemic.
Oh, no. Really, there are pandas in every treetop in Washington with eye patches and swords and things. There looks like they're up to no good. I don't know how do we have enough law enforcement still willing to show up in the midst of the pandemic? I don't know. Listen, we're at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. And let me tell you, can I just tell you something? Big stuff happened. Big stuff happened yesterday involving the pandemic and the Wuhan Red Death. There are, he's an English fella. Neil Ferguson is his name. And he's one of the geniuses that came up with the models on how we're all going to die and said there are going to be more than 2 million deaths in the United States of America from the dread Wuhan Red Death, and more than 500,000 deaths in the UK. That's the United Kingdom. It's like Britain. And all these people, the 500,000, half million in this tiny island nation, and they were going to 500,000 were going to die. Well, he took another look at the numbers, and he came back, and he's, hey, wait a minute, did you guys? Because did I go half cocked? Because I did, I might have gone off half cocked. Can you say that on the radio? He apparently it turns out he had to crunch the numbers again, and he came back, and he's like, oh, oops, my bad. Turns out the number is real different than the one I gave you, and I've got I have several stories on that today, because it is an earth-shaking change. It is world-changing, and they haven't heard about it yet at CNN. CNN is unaware of this. I'll try to make them aware. They won't become aware. Even when you make them aware, they're not aware. They don't follow the news, it turns out. I find that most news people don't actually follow the news. They think they know the news because it's their job to report the news or something. But turns out they don't. That most of the things that they should know, they don't know. It's quite remarkable. So the numbers are radically different today than they were yesterday. And I mean radically, dramatically, for the better. It's not like it's much worse than thought. It's like, hey, wait a minute. Did I overestimate by, you know, like 2,500%? Because if I overestimated by 2,500%, I'm just going to have to say I'm sorry and move on. And that's what they'll do. They'll just say, oh, oops. Oops, that was my guess. Did the whole world close down? Did businesses close? Did families go bankrupt? Because I said that 2 million Americans would die from this thing. And now it turns out, well, I'll get to the numbers. Also, big news hiding in the Washington Post today. Washington State, that's in the Pacific Northwest, the northwestern corner of the continental 48, the contiguous 48. And they had the biggest outbreak in the beginning, and they had dozens of people die, you may recall. In particular, at a life care nursing home in Kirkland, Washington. Well, there's a big update out of there, too. And let me tell you, it's good news. There's good news just coming. It's like blue skies and happy shoes, I think, today. Because the news out of the UK, which gave us the bad news, the apocalyptic death cult news, oh, the warning that we're all going to die, we have an update, and it's gigantic. And out of Washington State, we have an update, and it's gigantic. And CNN is either unaware of it or they're pretending to be unaware of it because they're still peddling the, oh, my God, we're all going to die. 6,000 children in Massachusetts are going to die. And an employee of the NYPD died of the coronavirus. Also, I guess a bus driver and another public employee in New York City died. New York City is the epicenter, and people are dying in New York City, and people are going to continue to die from this virus across the country. However, I've just got to say that things changed a lot yesterday, and I will update you with all of the latest facts and figures. And my favorite, Dr. Deborah Birx, was on the television yesterday briefing from the White House briefing room, and she had some things she wanted to pass along. And CNN, I guess, missed the briefing also. CNN didn't catch the briefing yet, but they probably weren't carrying it because they announced they're not going to carry. A lot of them are announcing, well, they're going to stop carrying because it's too good for Trump. It's working for Trump. The president's poll numbers are rising, not only rising. Andrea Mitchell yesterday said skyrocketing. That is, approval ratings are skyrocketing. So that means they're going to stop doing whatever it is, the news media, because they're so legitimate and honest and impartial that they see, they figure they'd watch the briefings and they spit at the screen and throw cans at it and things. They figured the rest of the country was responding the same way they were to the president's briefings. Turns out the opposite is true. Once again, the media is not only wrong, but what they believe to be true is the opposite of the truth. And the American people are saying, you know, here's a guy who's really going the extra mile here. Look at all this stuff. You're creating new stuff, fast-tracking everything, finding these at record speed, these other drugs that are already FDA approved that may be effective. And, you know, all kinds of really great news for us. And CNN, they just want nothing to do with it. The people, you know how they are, all the people, they're still all upset. The news media people, they're upset that his poll numbers are up. And the Washington Post has a big piece on that today, as a matter of fact, in their A section, typed up by Ashley Parker and Toulouse Olarunupia. Oh, yes. I think it's actually Olarunipa. That's what it is. Olarunipa. It's kind of a cool name. And they typed it up on behalf of the DNC. It's published in the pages of Dr. Evil's Washington Post. Trump's on-air ubiquity is part of a deliberate strategy, and it's working. That's the headline. It's part of a deliberate strategy, and it's working. Hang on. See, they're very upset about it. Hey, nothing gets by these people. Then they type on behalf of their political party. Since mid-January, President Trump has spent a total of 12 hours speaking publicly about the novel coronavirus, amounting to more than 143,000 words. They counted the words. Who do you think counted the words? They stay up late. They got so many people on the payroll down there now. They have like four or five people assigned to each story. Now they got people just count the words. I know, they do it by computer. But nevertheless, they counted the words. 143,000 words, according to the fact-based data analysis firm. They checked with a firm. He's tweeted about the virus 138 times. Who counted those for you? And in the past week alone, the president has spoken for more than 300 minutes or 5 hours. They're doing a lot of math here, aren't they, for simple-minded people. During daily coronavirus news conferences, Trump's on-air ubiquity is part of a deliberate White House strategy to place the president front and center as the pitchman and public relations impresario for the coronavirus response. This, they're very upset. See, they're yelling at him that he's not doing enough. And then when he briefs, then they use these words to describe that he's the front and center, the pitch man, public relations impresario, snarky, snide, smug, self-righteous, typical Washington Post stuff, impresario for the coronavirus response. And if he were not the face of the coronavirus response, then the Washington Post would be writing hit pieces. Where is the president? Why isn't he out here? Americans are dying. Where is the comforter in chief? Remember, they love Obama so much, they want to date him. And when I say date him, I think you know what I mean. He is saturating cable news and Twitter, filling the airwaves and internet with words. That's what it says. It's what it says. What should he do, like improvisational dance? Should it be pantomime? What should it be? Like Jackson Pollock-style art to express his thoughts about the coronavirus? Filling the airways with words? What is supposed to be? Should be doing like sock puppet shows? I'm Hard Rock, I'm Coco, I'm Joe. What is he supposed to be doing over here? For the love of Mike. Filling the airwaves and internet with words. Often hopeful and optimistic talk. You know how they hate that. They hate that hopeful and optimistic talk. Because they're part of the apocalyptic death cult known as the left, the worldwide left. Often hopeful and optimistic talk that at times contradicts his public health experts is not always rooted in scientific reality and can veer off topic. But despite the criticism and the alarm Trump's prescriptions have prompted, his poll numbers have ticked up. They didn't tick up, they jumped up. They rocketed up. Andrea Mitchell said it yesterday. She skyrocketed. They skyrocketed up because that's what they're upset about. That is, poll numbers are skyrocketing and the news media is beside themselves. So this is Ashley Parker and Toulouse, her friend, at the Washington Post, following the rest of the news media.
The president's approval ratings among Democrats and independents skyrocketing to their highest levels yet.
And they're very upset. You heard the anxiety, the stress in her voice, because this is not what they were hoping for. This is very different than what they were hoping for. And very, very upset that they, despite the criticism alarm, his poll numbers have ticked up. And his dominance of the media landscape, it's like, thank you, sir, may I have another. His dominance, of, he dominates me. I don't want him to, but I can't make it stop. He dominates me. Introducing former Vice President Joe Biden, you see that the Democrats, his dominance of the media landscape has made it more difficult for Democrats, including former Vice President Joe Biden, who leads the presidential field in delegates, to break through with their own message. No, really, they've got you licking their boots and all that stuff every day. A recent Gallup poll showed Trump's approval rating back up to 49%, the highest rating of his presidency, from 44% this month, with 60% of the public approving of his handling of the coronavirus. And what is it, the 60%, and then I think it's, 36% approve of the, 46% approve, 44% approve of the media. That's what it is, of the media. He's got you by like 16 points, I think, on the news media. And they're very upset about this. But trust me, they're very upset. A more recent Monmouth University poll found 50% saying Trump had done a good job. They found another poll with a lower number, so they wanted to make sure to include that. So they're very upset, the news media, that the president is prevailing, thriving, becoming more popular. In spite of the news media's best efforts to get Joe Biden elected, even though Joe Biden is crazy. And he was on the television last night from his basement. He went on the Jimmy Kimmel show. And Jimmy Kimmel's in his basement, too, I think, right? It's like basement to basement. It's like East Germany. And I'm embarrassed for everyone. But Joe Biden was on from his basement. And apparently he's Howard Hughes now. He's like living in a secure, hermetically sealed place. Everybody that comes in is in scrubs with gloves and masks on because, and it's like beep, beep, beep. They're checking constantly for Joe Biden's vital signs so the Bernie bros don't start trending on Twitter with RIP Joe Biden again like they did. What was that, Monday? I think it was Monday that they did that. Hey, you know, postage rates have gone up yet again. Did you notice? Thankfully, Stamps.com is here to ease the pain with giant discounts off of post office retail rates. With Stamps.com, you immediately save 5 cents off of every first-class stamp, and you get 40% off of other shipping rates. You know, that kind of savings adds up very rapidly, starts piling up, especially for small businesses. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. You're at home, you're at work, you could be in the front seat of your car. Whether you're a small office sending invoices, an online seller, shipping out products, even a warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease, aplomb, even panache. They handle it with panache. Stamps.com not only saves you tons of time, those trips to the post office, waiting in line, people coughing and hacking around you, saves you lots of your hard-earned money, too. With Stamps.com, you get discounted postage rates. fraction the cost of those expensive postage meters. Plus, there is no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments to make. Right now, for my listeners, that's you. Get a special offer that includes 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com for the special deal. Click on the microphone at the top of the home page and type in my last name, Plante. That's stamps.com, enter plant. There it is. Yeah, wait till you hear all the news. I want to update it kind of all at once. A lot of stuff, and your calls. What are you doing? How are you surviving the Wuhan Red Death of 2020? We're at 888-630-9625.
The briefings are working for the president.
There's only one, Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Please listen. This is important. Anyone can be affected by the prescription opioid crisis. If you think you've been hurt by Purdue or its prescription opioids like OxyContin, you may be entitled to compensation as part of Purdue's bankruptcy, but you have to file a claim. Claims may include overdose, death, substance use disorder, lost wages, and neonatal abstinence syndrome. A confidential claim can be filed by individuals, a legal guardian, by survivors or relatives of people who have died or are disabled. The deadline to file a claim is June 30th, 2020, or you will lose your right to file a claim. For more information, visit PurduePharmaClaims.com, or you can call toll-free 1-844-217-0912. That's 1-844-217-0912. Paid for by Prime Clerk, LLC.
Save on the essentials during Kohl's Friends and Family Sale. This Wednesday through Sunday, take an extra 20% off. And save on women's denim. Sonoma graphic tees are just $7.99. And get quilts for just $47.99. Plus, take $10 off your kids' sale purchase of $50 or more. Plus, get Kohl's cash right now at Kohl's and Kohl's.com. Offers valid March 26th through 29th. Send off 50 kids with promo code KIDS10. 20% off with promo code SHOPFRIENDS. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Look who's cheap now. You are. And millions more just like you with CheapoAir.com. Because when you spend less booking your flight, you're free to do more, see more, live more, and save more. So you can start planning your next adventure. Just download, click, or call to save on flights, hotels, car rentals, and more. Go ahead. Be cheap. CheapoAir.com. Go online or call 866-GO-CHEAP. 866-GO-CHEAP.
CheapoAir.com.
Go ahead. Beach. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%. APR 4.23%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rates subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
For your spring garden, start with Lowe's, because we have everything from plants grown for your area to the soil they need to thrive. Plus, we'll even help you save. Stop in today and get 4 1-quart basic perennials for just $10. And improve your existing soil and build strong roots with 2 cubic foot bags of Miracle-Gro all-purpose garden soil, now 2 for $12. Whatever you're working on this spring, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 4-1, U.S. only, excluding Alaska and Hawaii.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Even in the midst of a pandemic,
the pandas have escaped from the National Zoo. The enclosure has been trashed. They stole everything. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Kent, calling from Georgia. Kent, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm great, Kent. What do you know?
Well, I normally am with you on the criticism of Kevin McCarthy, but this time he nailed it.
It is a pandemic.
Where do pandas come from? China.
Wuhan, that's where they come from, Wuhan, China. It is a pandemic. Maybe it was a deliberate slip of the tongue, and he should be called a racist and a xenophobe for mentioning pandas.
Hey, one other thing. I do have the Corolla virus.
You have the Corolla virus, the Toyota Corolla virus?
It caused me to go out and buy a Toyota that's a little bit too small for me to drive comfortably.
He's got the Corolla virus, listening.
Not quite as serious as the other one.
It's the pandemic. It's true, the pandemic does come from Wuhan, which is why they call it the Wuhan Red Death. How's everything with you guys down there in Georgia?
Well, I live out in the woods and been kind of semi-retired, so don't go out much anyway. I love your show, the best show on the radio.
Well, thank you, my friend. Thank you, Kent. Very nice. Very nice. I've got a lot of facts coming up, fun facts that you're going to want to share with your friends and family. Good stuff. But we've got some funny stuff coming up even before that. Lunch Bucket Joe on television from his bunker and the Tisch School of Performing Arts.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. The Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job, That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
With the new year, it's a great time to lose 10 pounds, paint the house, and finally clean out the garage.
Honey, why don't you start by getting the car serviced at Premier Oil Change? They're super fast and convenient. You get to wait in the car with free Wi-Fi and a free beverage. Plus, they have a rewards program where we can earn points that we can put towards free oil changes and services. You don't even have to make an appointment.
Wow, honey, that sounds a lot better than cleaning out the garage.
At Premier Oil Change, we strive for convenience. Our comprehensive 30-point certified service will ensure you with the peace of mind that your vehicle is in top operating condition. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that is service, and we're quick. Easy in, easy out. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Visit us on Facebook or Instagram. Premier Oil is located in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palo Cedro or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you get a free car wash. Visit us today. Home with a friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi, I'm Dan Flynn. I'm the presiding judge at the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those people who wish to serve on the grand jury. To apply and to get additional information, please go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
That's right. Now is your chance to apply. The Shasta County Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. Visit our website for more information.
Please apply now.
My name is Andrea Delzell, and I've been using a wheelchair since I was 5 years old.
I guess if I had one message for the general public, it would be that I appreciate your help. But please, ask first.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that I've actually got everything under control.
I think people get nervous. They don't know how to act, so they pretend I'm not there.
What probably bothers me the most is when waiters talk to my companion and not directly to me.
I think everyone with a disability can relate to that parking spot problem.
We know you're just parking in a disabled spot for a second, but please, don't. We're just looking for the same respect and consideration as everyone else.
United Spinal Association is dedicated to enhancing the quality of life of people living with spinal cord injuries and disorders. Download our disability etiquette booklet at unitedspinal.org.
We've got some more REM coming up from the Tisch School. These people at Lunch Bucket Joe on the Jimmy Kimmel Just Another Democrat Party show. CNN is having a 1 hour town hall with Joe Biden coming live from his space station. Where is he actually sequestered? Do we know? Is it in George Soros's submarine? Docked at his subterranean harbor beneath his hollowed-out volcano. Yeah, CNN is handing over another hour of airtime to the Democrats tonight because it's just a cable channel for the DNC. CNN will host a town hall on the coronavirus pandemic with former Vice President Joe Biden tonight at Who Cares Eastern Time, because nobody's going to watch anyway. And what does he really have to say? They're not carrying the president's briefings. Right? Are they? Did they stop carrying them? Because they keep making sounds that they're going to stop carrying because it's been too beneficial to the president. And their mission, God knows, is not to do anything that might be beneficial to the president. But they think this will be beneficial to Joe Biden, even though he's coming from his bunker, from his lair, where where he's sequestered, and where when everyone goes in, they have to go in like full surgical garb because he's the boy in the plastic bubble. All right, let's take a phone call, and then get on to some lunch bucket Joe and these dim-witted liberals in New York at the Tisch School for the Arts. They want their money back. And guess what? Coming up. Let's go to Justin, calling from San Antonio, Texas. Justin, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Oh, yes, sir, Chris. Since you were talking about the coronavirus, I just wanted to throw in that the truck stops with truckers, because I'm a truck driver.
Uh-huh.
They've got a lot of people coming in, getting gas, just doing traveling from here to there.
Yeah.
A lot of people are coming in sick, and I know through social media and different things that I've been seeing online that truck drivers are getting sick, and they're catching it in the truck stops. People are not practicing the social distancing. They're going in there sick. They're coughing all over the place, touching stuff, and, you know, there's different surfaces that can hold the virus longer than, you know, other surfaces. You know, it's something that people need to think about, and they really need to, in my opinion, try to shut the truck stops down to where only the truck drivers can go there.
Oh.
That's the only place that we can go.
Okay.
A lot of places you can't get trucks into.
Right, of course, yeah.
And because now the restaurants are shutting down, yes, there's a lot of companies that are welcoming, you know, the truckers into their parking lots and stuff like that. But the truck stop is where we get our showers. It's where we get most of our food. You know, it's the only safe haven for us, a term used in the trucking industry. But it's something that they need to think about, because if we keep getting sick, eventually you're not going to have trucks running down the road.
Yeah, that would certainly be an enormous problem. Let me ask you this, because, you know, truck drivers, one of the categories of people that are kind of new heroes in this coronavirus, the age of the Wuhan Red Death. Now everybody's talking about doctors and nurses and hospital workers and police and first responders and truckers. For the first time, I think, in modern times, truck drivers are being held up as heroes, and people are noticing that you're necessary. You know, I think very often truck drivers and 18-wheelers are taken for granted, and now people are saying, hey, you know, thank God for the truck drivers getting out there. And what you're saying is you got to pay attention, because truckers are beginning to get sick. And if you see a lot of truckers getting sick, then a lot of truckers are going to stay home. And then you're going to have another layer of trouble. That's what you're communicating, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. That would pose a pretty big problem in this country. I mean, most people don't even think about it. But, you know, I mean,
right.
New houses that are built, everything comes in on truck. Right down to the topsoil that comes into your front yard.
Yeah. Well,
you
know, I mean, you look at the almighty toilet paper, the food on your shelves. Yesterday it was flour and yeast and all the paper products and so many other things. The hand sanitizer, everything. Look, everything comes in. Pretty much doesn't matter where you live. Everything is delivered to your stores, to your neighborhood, to your city by trucks and by truck drivers. And we always take them for granted until you see that the shelves aren't full, and then people start to freak out. So I want to say thank you and salute you for being out there and for calling in to offer your advice and a bit of a warning to people as well. And let me ask you this. Are you getting attaboys from people? Are people honking and waving? Are you getting any, you know, people pulling their hands like they want you to honk the horn more often and stuff like that?
A little bit here and there, yeah. It's typically the kids, you know. The kids are always throwing their arms out the window doing the little horn honking deal. But, yeah, I mean, there are people, you know, here and there that you see it more now. They're getting out of the way.
Yeah.
They're allowing us to get to where we need to go. It is getting a little bit nicer out on the roads.
Because there are fewer cars.
Well, that too. That definitely helps. Here in San Antonio, the traffic has cut down significantly. So
it's
definitely getting a lot easier to drive around here. But, I just hope that when this is over, people don't go back to the way it used to be and, give distance to the trucks and allow us to get to where we need to go because we need to be able to get the products to the shelves.
I'm with you. Justin, my friend, saluting you, buddy.
Yes, sir. You have a good day. Thank you.
You be well. Thank you. Thanks, Justin. it's true. I mean, it's one of the categories. And when you get to your grocery store for the first time in your life, you see empty shelves, which is true for many, for generations of Americans. Never seen empty shelves in their lives. Victoria, I'm thinking right here, probably never seen empty shelves before this episode in her life. She's nodding in agreement. That's right. And the trucks, you don't think about it, but it's a very complex world we live in, You ever see that documentary on Below New York, on all of the things going on below street level in New York? Not just the subways, but the electrical system, the sewage system, the old subway system, abandoned subway stops where, like where Gene Hackman had his headquarters in Superman when they were going to steal the nuclear weapons, blow up California, knock it into the ocean, and buy the beachfront property in Nevada. That was beneath New York. It's just, it's amazing. The infrastructure that we have around us is amazing. And most people are completely oblivious to all of it. How cities work, how urban centers work, how we keep food on the table, how we keep electricity flowing, water, clean water flowing, all that stuff. Very, very complex stuff. We're a very advanced culture, a very advanced civilization. And there are all kinds of key things where if you knock them out, it creates big problems. And trucking is enormous. We just take it for granted. We assume, of course, trucking is always there. And there's somebody I've been meaning to say last couple of days that I haven't said that I would like to say. This is a time when you should look out for bad things to happen on top of what's already going on. When it comes to organizations like radical Islam, political Islam, ISIS, Al-Qaeda types, this would, for them, be a dreamy time to pile on, to launch another attack against the United States, against New York, against the economy of the United States. Iran is under that umbrella, but a state sponsor, and they have all that Obama cash, all those billions of dollars that Obama gave them, that they can use to attack us and murder us. And there are also cyber attacks and North Korea, China, just for example, to name one country. Now, and President Trump told Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes, isn't Russia meddling? And he said, well, yeah, sure, Russia's meddling in China and North Korea and Iran. Why don't you just say Russia? I said, well, because these other countries do this stuff, too. And then you have the freelancers and the Al-Qaedas and the ISIS, all the radical Islamic groups, radical leftist groups, hackers, state-sponsored or not, that could get into the machine by way of the Internet with power grids. There are all kinds of threats out there. And when you are at your weakest, and right now we are vulnerable, that's when you look for bad actors to act. That's their nature. That is what they do. That's why in so many cases they must be destroyed, but just something to keep your ear to the ground on. And also be aware that, gosh, what if the power grid were hit? What do you do now? Do you have cash? Do you have cash at home? Do you need to go to a bank machine? Do you have, have you thought about ways to charge your phone in your car and things? Just think about this stuff. Don't panic. And after I tell you, I'm going to save it, I guess, for after the top of the hour now. But all the good news that I've collected since yesterday, and there's really great news, really great news. But still, it's just good to be smart and think. Like I've reverted to the post 9/11 mentality when it comes to things like think of a half tank of gas as being an empty tank of gas. So keep your tank filled. Keep some cash, small bills on hand. Make sure you've got enough ammo for the zombie apocalypse and all that stuff. Let's go to this story, which is laugh out loud in its own way. The late Larry Tisch, Lawrence Tisch, was the CEO of CBS Inc. and the head of CBS News and all that. Billionaire family in New York, big investors in real estate and stuff. NYU, New York University, Tisch students, it's the Tisch School for the Arts or of the Arts, NYU Tisch students demand tuition back. Dean responds with dance video. Well, it is a school for the performing arts, after all. Students at the New York University Tisch School of the Arts want some of their tuition money back because they say virtual classes being held online are not what they paid for. But instead of addressing the situation, the school's dean sent them a video of her dancing to REM's Losing My Religion. Following several communications between students and the administration, Dean Allison Green earlier this week attached her dance video to an email to students in which she explained that she doesn't have the authority to refund tuition and that it's challenging for the school to give students their money back right now. So the dean sent, they're like, hey, we're not getting what we paid for. We want our money back. And this is the video we're playing right now. She's this white woman, about 50 years old, I'd say. Looks like, a typical kind of lower Manhattan liberal. And she's a horrible, terrible, arrhythmic dancer. She has arrhythmia of the dance gene. And she's trying to dance. The students pay $58,552 a year and more when you build in the other fees and requirements. It's a prestigious private school. And they say, no, this requires hands-on education. We can't do this online. What is this, the University of Arizona or something? And people are really upset. And then she sent out a video of her dancing badly. Right? I thought that I heard you complaining. I thought I heard you say you want your tuition back. Well, I'm not going to give you your money back, but here's a nice dance video of a middle-aged white woman squirming uncomfortably, making all the viewers uncomfortable. Honestly, this is $58,000 a year. Hey, look, don't worry about it. It's the Tisch School for the Arts. You weren't learning anything anyway. Yeah, silly you. What do you think, going to the Tisch School for the Arts? And you want, hey, we want our money back. Oh, sorry, you're not going to get your money back, but here's a dance video of a middle-aged white woman who doesn't know how to dance. They're very upset. The students are very upset. It is, and it is, oh, that's right, and he said, and it's not an accident. Michael Piercy said, this must have been an accident, sending this video out. And he said, it must have been an accident. And in the note, it says, this was not an accident. This was her sort of way of trying to reach out to the student body. Yeah, 58 grand, and you get a dance video. That's it. No, you will not get your money back. Also, Joe Biden, Lunch Bucket Joe, from his bunker. He's Howard Hughes now. Listen to him. He's in his basement. He was on the Jimmy Kimmel show last night, but Jimmy Kimmel's in his basement, too, and there's no audience, which means nobody's laughing because nobody's putting a gun to an audience's head, making them laugh at bad jokes. But here's Jimmy Kimmel trying to be funny with Lunch Bucket Joe in his basement, and Joe's like, huh? He's Grandpa Simpson over here. And he said, well, when people come, I have to be put in a Ziploc bag.
Are we in your man cave right now? Is this your library?
Well, no, this used to be a nice recreation room for everyone, but they've turned it into a studio or a semi-studio.
So you are you quarantined or are you able to stay away from people during this time?
Able.
Well, I'm not officially quarantined, but I'm trying to follow the rules here. I'm not going out. I'm just keeping distance. We have folks that come in and from the Secret Service on, but they wear masks and gloves and, you know, we try to do it by the numbers.
Boop, 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 boop. So here comes the Secret Service dressed like a surgical team coming in. I can see them now, dressed like with, germ warfare bomb suits on. So they got scuba tanks and blue gloves and masks and plastic shields because Lunch Bucket Joe is in there. And he is very vulnerable. He is the vice president in the plastic bubble. And he is on Jimmy Kimmel. But the Secret Service, when they come in, they have gloves and masks. What are they doing? Digital exams? What are they? Are they playing with your food? What are they feeding you? Okay. That was back when I invented the vacuum cleaner.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Sponsored by Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
Please listen. This is important. Anyone can be affected by the prescription opioid crisis. If you think you've been hurt by Purdue or its prescription opioids like OxyContin, you may be entitled to compensation as part of Purdue's bankruptcy, but you have to file a claim. Claims may include overdose, death, substance use disorder, lost wages, and neonatal abstinence syndrome. A confidential claim can be filed by individuals, a legal guardian, by survivors or relatives of people who have died or are disabled. The deadline to file a claim is June 30th, 2020, or you will lose your right to file a claim. For more information, visit PurduePharmaClaims.com, or you can call toll-free 1-844-217-0912. That's 1-844-217-0912. Paid for by Prime Clerk, LLC.
For your spring garden, start with Lowe's, because we have everything from plants grown for your area to the soil they need to thrive. Plus, we'll even help you save. Stop in today and get 4 1-quart basic perennials for just $10. And improve your existing soil and build strong roots with 2 cubic foot bags of Miracle-Gro all-purpose garden soil, now 2 for $12. Whatever you're working on this spring, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 4/1, U.S. only, excluding Alaska and Hawaii.
Sponsored by Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Hey, have you seen the new cyber threat warning about the conversation
hijacking? Totally. Cyber criminals are using email account takeover and brand impersonation to insert themselves into email conversations and steal money from businesses.
Right. That's why I tell my clients about
Barracuda. Same here. They use artificial intelligence to detect and block sophisticated attacks, including account takeover and brand impersonation.
Man, I guess you did see it.
Don't become a victim. Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
As a kid, I wanted to explore every inch of the world, but then I contracted bacterial meningitis. My kidneys shut down, my spleen burst, both of my legs were amputated below the knees. But I didn't give up on my dreams. I medaled in the Paralympics. I'm a motivational speaker, published author, Dancing with the Stars runner-up, and training to compete in the next Paralympic Games. Help kids live their dreams just like me. Put your money where the miracles are. Give to your Children's Miracle Network Hospital.
All right, a lot of new information since yesterday that I'm going to share with you shortly, just after the top of the hour. The New York Times, perhaps you've heard of it, used to be a newspaper in New York. Now, what is it? Where is Allie Watkins? Is she still putting out for scoops? Award-winning New York Times journalist. The New York Times headline is, in Iran, false belief, a poison fights virus, kills hundreds. That is a terrible headline, just by the way. Perfectly muddy. Standing over the still body of an intubated 5-year-old boy wearing nothing but a plastic diaper. You know, the cloth diaper is environmentally preferable. An Iranian healthcare worker in a hazmat suit and mask begged the public for just one thing. Stop drinking industrial alcohol over fears about the new coronavirus. Bad writing. The boy, now blind after his parents... Now, it is it's a still body of... The boy, now blind after his parents gave him toxic methanol in the mistaken belief it protects against the coronavirus, is just one of hundreds of victims of an epidemic inside the pandemic now gripping Iran. It's an epidemic inside a pandemic? Is that how that works? What, wrapped in an apocalypse, I assume? Iranian media have reported nearly 300 people have been killed and more than 1,000 sickened so far by ingesting methanol across the Islamic Republic, where drinking alcohol is banned. Well, how about methanol? And where those who do drink alcohol rely on bootleggers. Sure, Siddiqui, and you got all kinds of good liquor they make there. An Iranian doctor helping the country's health ministry told the Associated Press the problem was even greater, giving a death toll of around 480, with 2,850 people sickened. They're going on and on about this, and the Islamic Republic has reported over 29,000 confirmed cases and more than 2,200 deaths from the virus, the highest toll of any country in the Middle East. They had more deaths from honor killings, I think, in the same period of time. But it is the most affected in the region with 2,200 deaths. And are they on the downslope? No. Have they passed the peak? Have they dropped the curve? Have they done all of that good stuff? Well, this is kind of a fascinating story because it is they're telling us, oh my God, and they have 2,200 deaths. Keeping in mind, just because context matters, that we've had approximately, in the high end estimate, is 24,000 deaths this year from the flu in the United States of America. The regular flu, the annual flu, 24,000 deaths from the flu this year in the United States. Now, Iran is a country of 80 million people, and they've had 2,200 deaths, and they've obviously mismanaged everything because they're troglodytes from a medieval hell that slithered out of cracks in the earth to infect humanity with their insanity. So that's why.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.